I don't think so. Attention. We're going to start our city council meeting now. It is July 15th, 2013, and it is 6:30. I'd like to start with a moment of silence. If you'd all stand with me, and I want to have the moment thanking our fire department for getting that fire out in the dunes. Yeah. And I'd like to ask Mayor Pro Tem Bright if she would lead the flag salute.
Thank you. I'd be honored to. If you'd please join me, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Here. And we do have a closed session announcement. City Attorney, could you give us that announcement?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to ask folks to hold it down a little bit. I know there are a lot of people here, but we all need to hear. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Council members, members of the public, on Monday, June 17th, after meeting in closed session regarding three items, first one was the negotiation with the Conference of Labor Negotiators for all employees groups. Second one was Conference of Real Property Negotiators regarding the Digital West right-of-ways. And the third one was a public performance evaluation for the city manager. The city council reconvened into open session and announced that there were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Thank you very much. And this is the time at which we review the order of business to be conducted and we receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Thank you. The council should will by motion adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. And what I'd like to do is work out who's here for what item so that we can make sure that we can do this in an orderly fashion and we don't waste people's time. So let's we've got several items on the agenda. Is there anybody here for the 2013 weed abatement apart from the fire department? No? Okay. And consent agenda, anybody up at the council or out in the audience that wants to speak to the consent agenda or pull an item? All righty. Then next item of business is the lease of commercial space, and I think I saw the gentleman who wishes. Great. Okay, so we'll make sure we get you up at the front. And anybody here for the response to the grand jury report regarding email? And I think we can rattle through the rest of it pretty quickly without wasting folks' time. So are you all in favor of that? Did anybody on the council want to do anything differently?
Are you just going to put it in between 7 and 8?
Yes, we'll make it number 8. Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. I think a voice vote will suffice. We have consensus.
Yes.
Do we need to have a motion to do that? Okay.
I'll make that motion that we take item 11 and bring it up between item 7 and 8.
Second.
Roll call. This is a voice vote, though. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Carried unanimously. So let's get started. Our ceremonial calendar. This is something that I really enjoy doing, and particularly because over the years I've gotten to know a number of the folks who have made this town what it is, and I see a number of you out there tonight. And once I figure out who all's out there, I'll introduce you. But what I'd like to do first is to do my commendation honoring Cynthia Glenn. Where is Cynthia? There she is. Okay. You can stay seated for just a minute, but I'm going to have the city manager read the proclamation, then I'll come out and give it to you, and then I'd like you to have an opportunity to say a few words to us. Thank you.
Actually, Madam Mayor, would you like me to read the staff report?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. I'll begin with that, and it's a delightful staff report, a very positive way to begin this long meeting. As most of you know, Cynthia Glenn is the owner of Mr. Glenn's clothing store on West Grand Avenue, and it's been there for quite some time. But she has a very interesting history that I'd like to inform you about. She was born in 1926. Cynthia was raised in a large family of five sisters and two brothers in Indianapolis, Indiana. Her father, John Lunsford, was an entrepreneurial man who built many things, including houses. He was born and raised on a tobacco farm until he entered the Navy at a young age. While in the Navy, he became a world traveler and later instilled his love of travel and adventure in his children. Cynthia's mother, Lucy, was a homemaker and school teacher. All of the children spoke fluent Spanish. During the Depression, the family lost almost everything. By the time Cynthia was in the second grade, the family moved to a two-story farmhouse for $5 a month in Oklahoma City. In order to make ends meet, one of her sisters helped pay for the bills by taking a teaching position at a nearby school. The family soon discovered that the farm that they had moved to had a wealth of potential, an abundance of growing fruit and vegetables. Her father built a fruit stand and sold apples, watermelons, peanuts, vegetables, and corn, to name just a few. His entrepreneurial spirit brought the family out of its economic downturn caused by the Depression. Cynthia acknowledges that one of her life's changing moments was when she taught ballroom dancing and realized she had found herself. She loved to teach dancing. Another lifelong skill she learned as a young child from her mother was the gift of sewing. She eventually designed and made all the family's clothes and even sold clothes for some of the folks in the community. Cynthia eventually followed her sister, 14 years her senior, to Santa Maria, California. Cynthia worked part-time as a nanny for a millionaire family and attended Santa Maria Junior College. She and her sister eventually moved to Avila Beach in 1946. One day, while Cynthia was walking down a dirt road, a young man named Corman Glenn, who had just been discharged as a second-class gunner's mate from the Navy, and his brothers drove past her. He boldly announced that he was going to marry that girl. They married in 1947 and lived in Avila Beach for 2 years. In 1949, Cynthia and Corman moved to Grover City with a baby, a convertible, and $250 in their pockets. They definitely discovered the town's possibilities and came to love it. They eventually bought a loft from Reginald and Carrie Simpson for $500 by putting $50 down and paying $12.50 each month. Kind of hard to do these days.
Yeah.
Reginald was the first barber in town. From 49 to 51, Cynthia worked at San Luis Obispo County Library, and Corman worked at the Oaks Construction. They had their three sons, Michael, David, and Tom, 1947, 52, and 54. Her brother Tom was the town's first architect. She also was a teacher at the Price Street School in Napomo. Herman was a volunteer firefighter with the city for 38 years, serving his last 5 years as the fire marshal. He passed away in 97. Corman and Cynthia celebrated 50 years of marriage. Cynthia says that she and Corman were a great team. Cynthia credits her successful life to her parents, who valued family time together, encouraged all the children to achieve higher education. Six out of the seven siblings received college degrees. Cynthia has fond memories of the family reading, completing lessons, and writing poetry together. At 35 years of age, she went back to school and graduated in 1963 from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo with her second degree, stating that her first degree was from the School of Life. Cynthia was also a successful real estate agent and managed 23 transactions. So it is with an honor that Mrs. Cynthia Glenn is recommended for community spirit and business operations in Grover Beach.
Thank you very much. and I have just a couple of things to add to that. I first ran into Cynthia, and having owned a manufacturing company myself, was very interested in her story. And apparently where we now have Tideva, Cynthia had her own manufacturing company. She had five employees working for her. So she didn't just sew things that sold for $300, but she actually had a manufacturing right downtown Grover Beach and sold her products as far afield as London. The other thing that I wanted to mention about Cynthia, and she has been commended for this from our Parks and Rec department, but there's a vacant lot between Mr. Glenn's shop and the Tideva now, and that does belong to Cynthia, and she decided it didn't look too nice, so she started going out there, and every day she's out there planting different flowers and things, and she just plants whatever she gets, and she tells me she's not a gardener, but it's really lovely, and she's turned an eyesore into something beautiful. So Cynthia, you've done that all your life, and we thank you, and I'm going to ask you if you would come up for a photo opportunity first, just right over here, and I'll come out, and then if you wanted to say a few words, we'd love to hear from you.
I accept this, and this is a great honor, but I'm going to accept this in memory of all the people who lived during my days beginning in Grover, because everyone worked together. We were a happy bunch, and particularly my husband was a fireman for 38 years. The firemen were the heart of the town, and everyone worked together. And those Saturday night dances, our city manager was Ken Reed. He could do a wicked two-step. And so I want to give them all the credit. Many are gone now, but many are still here. I just happen to be blessed to still be here. But I thank you so much.
Next on our ceremonial calendar, we have a proclamation designating July as National Park and Recreation Month. I think we have a few park and recreation folks in the back. They smell a little smoky, but they're there. And I've asked Councilmember Lee if he would present this one.
And it's my honor to do that this evening as a former Parks and Rec Commission chair, and also wanted to recognize Councilmember Mr. Nichols as a former Parks and Rec member, commission member as well. So on that note, I'd like to read this proclamation of the City of Grover Beach designating July as National Park and Recreation Month, and if anyone from Parks and Rec wanted to come forward, so that would be, now would be a great time to do that. And then, whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part of communities throughout this country, including Grover Beach, and whereas parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in this community, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of our community and region. And whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease. And whereas parks and recreation programs increase this community's economic prosperity through increased property values.
Is there any Parks and Recreation and Beautification Commissioners? We'd like you to be in the picture if you're here. Come on up.
Bill, you need to go down there.
Sure. Former and past. Come on up.
I always ask Jeff to do it, but I forget the view. It's been a long time. I'll ask you next time.
You stand here.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Kathy Petker. I'm the Parks and Recreation and Program Director, and this is Nora O'Donnell, our Recreation Coordinator. And we are very proud of this month. Every year we get to celebrate, and it's our turn to shine and share with you what we do and what we're proud of providing the community. And over here on the board, on the table, you can see that we've prepared a I Love My Parks and Recreation. July is the month in nationally, and that's the theme this year. And over the last couple of months, we've collected statements from community members who've shared their thoughts, so we would love it if you went over to the board and read what people wrote about enjoying their community parks and their special events and what they like about the city. So that's a really nice display, and we're going to be carrying it with us to the next events for the rest of the year. And just to highlight, I know we have a busy schedule, but Nora and I would like to share with you over on the table, as well as the annual calendar of events. And every month we have at least 1 to 2 activities happening and special events. And we are here to provide activities and classes and programs and parks for you and your kids and community members and visitors. And everything that you heard in the proclamation is what we strive to provide for the community. So thank you all for your support, and we're really happy to be here. And I believe we have some community members who asked to speak as well, if that's okay. We'll let them talk at the dais.
Well, I guess this is sort of informally public comment, so tell us who you are.
Hi. I'm Jim Battersby, and I live in Arroyo Grande, and excuse me, I'm a retired lecturer at Cal Poly in Cuesta, and I've long been involved with Grover, even though I'm not a resident of this town. You can see by my attire that I do enjoy leisure, and Grover is just an excellent example of what a city can do to provide great opportunities. One of my classes 7 or 8 years ago brought the concept of a Sunday concert in the park to Grover, and guess what? It works. It's beautiful. I was there for the Cadillac Angels just a week ago.
Great
so
concert.
Much praise to the staff and much praise to this city. I come from a recreation background, City of Oakland, as well as I've been a professor in the field, and you should be extremely proud of the accomplishments of this mighty Recreation and Parks Department. Thank you.
Thank you for your help with that. I understand that we have a reputation for being the best concerts in the county, and it sounds like you've been a big part of that, so thank you for that. Kathy, was there anyone else coming forward? This is Commissioner Heidi Boatman.
Hi. I am very pleased to be part of this commission, and I get so emotional. Anyway, the thing that is really beautiful is my brother-in-law and sister-in-law came to visit us from Sonora. We took them around, showed them the area, and they were so surprised at our beautiful parks that we have. Mm-hmm. And for such a small town. My grandsons are here now, and we live across from Ramona Park, and they just love it. There's always activities and wonderful things. But most importantly is Kathy and Nora. They make it happen. And I am just shocked because I volunteer at a lot of the activities. People from Oceano, Arroyo Grande, mm-hmm. Shell Beach, everywhere, come to our activities, and they always say, you guys have more than any of our towns have. It's so great. And we only have 2 staff. Is that incredible? But we have the best, so I would like everybody to give them a real applause.
Thank you.
With little money that they have kept our parks up very well. And I think the citizens, too, that use our parks have done great. They pick up after their animals, and they all pitch in. So thanks to everybody who uses our parks in Grover.
And by Blue Crew, you mean Public Works, don't you?
My buddies,
who you bake cookies for. They accept cookies. Is there anyone else out there who wanted to come forward? All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate all the work that you two do. And while we're introducing staff just now, I thought it might be helpful. So you all know that Kathy Petker and Nora O'Donnell are our Parks and Rec folks. Chief Copsey is hiding in the back there. But most of us are here tonight, so I thought it might be helpful to just introduce everyone. Gayla Chapman is in charge of admin, and she's back there in the back. She'll answer questions later if we need her to. And I know you know everybody who's over here, and I think I've covered everybody. Have I missed anybody? No? Okay. Also tonight with us, we have Supervisor Adam Hill. We have former mayors Peter Keith, Dee Santos, Steve Lieberman, and Larry Versaw. Are there any other former mayors out there that I can't see? No, I think we got everyone tonight. Great. Well, we're moving. Oh, who did I miss? Oh, yes. Former Representative Andrea Seastrand. I didn't see you. Thank you very much. Resident of Grover Beach. We're very fortunate. Thank you for reminding me there. And this is the point at which we move into public communications. And any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Now, I do have some blue slips here for this time frame. What I'd like to suggest is that perhaps if you have something to say that you line up, but I'll call these out first, and then if you can line up because it'll speed up the process, and you're not required to talk for 3 minutes, but you may speak for 3 minutes. So I will open public communications, and the first person whose name I have is Pamela Dunlap, and if you can also tell us your name and city of residence, we would appreciate it for the record. Is Pamela here? And then after Pamela, it will be Dr. Neil Langford. And I have two slips for Dr. Neil, but 3 minutes is going to be the limit. So you can do 1.5 and 1.5 maybe. And after that, we have Riley Smith and then also Supervisor Hill.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I just want to point out these folks may be here for the dust rule.
Well, they're all saying I'm reading public communications. So any messages now are public communications. They're for items that are not on the agenda. So if you want to speak to something on the agenda, then we'll wait till we get to that agenda item.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I am Dr. Neil Langford, and I'm here to ask that the mayor and the member that you have appointed as a council to the APCD step down from the APCD. And here's one reason why, and I hope this works.
Montezuma has a lot of visitors.
This is a live broadcast. This is Dave Congleton's show. This is a caller calling in. This is Dave Congleton talking. And in this, you will hear him say, but if the APCD is right, and people are dying, and then you'll hear what your mayor says. She says, they're not dying fast enough.
Does this sound familiar?
Not
but if the APCD is right, if people are dying, they're losing that money anyway.
But see, that's all steady.
I mean, it's obvious.
They're not dying fast enough. You know, it's bad enough that you have been spreading misinformation about the good work of the Air Pollution Control Board and its management. And it's bad enough that you've only been paying lip service, as the San Luis Obispo Tribune has commented on yesterday, to the health issue. But this really calls for your resignation from the board. You may not make fun of people dying from this public health threat. And I save my other minute and a half for later.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, City Council. Oh, you can hear. Good. I'm here to, I didn't know Nell was going to speak on this issue, but I'm here for the same issue, and I apologize because you've had such a nice meeting so far. But they're not dying fast enough. The comment crossed the line. I'm from Napomo Mesa, by the way. It's bad enough that we're reeling from Paul Teixeira's sudden tragic death. And now this. You may think it's a joke, but for us it's not a joke. There is no excuse for a public official to talk like that in a
V on the morning of July 5th. And it's not just in July. It's all year. They're popping off these huge fireworks. Mm-hmm. And they were on fire. There's burn spots on my roof of my home and the roof of my RV. It's way out of hand. So I would like the city to put this on the agenda and ban fireworks and try to nudge Arroyo Grande into also banning fireworks. Because this, despite all the emotion in the conversation, this is reality. This is way over the top. This happens every time they're allowed to shoot off fireworks. So I think it's reasonable that if the city allows fireworks, but either can't or won't enforce the use of fireworks, then I think they're culpable at some level, liable. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
What street did you say you live on, please?
Driftwood Street.
Driftwood.
It's the one with the huge explosions going off all year. You can't miss it. Just look in the sky.
No, that's my street.
Is that your street?
Mine too, yeah.
You live there?
Not on Driftwood, but my street's got big explosions too.
Yeah, it's way over the top, way out of hand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Was there anybody else who wanted to come forward? Oh, excuse me, Supervisor Hill.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor and Council. I wanted to speak on number 11. If you could put me in that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, got you there. And then we have Kevin Rice.
Good evening, Council. Kevin Rice. Can I pass this out to you?
There's copy for you, Madam Clerk.
In reading the articles online, this is a corollary to item 11, but it's really a separate issue. I'd like to speak to whether or not elected officials should take advocacy roles on policy issues. And the answer to that is yes, they should. What I've handed you out is a collection of items. Number one on the top is from the San Luis Obispo Tribune. It's a viewpoint from Supervisor Adam Hill, urging his North County supervisors, his colleagues, to take a stand with him on the North County water issues. I don't believe Mr. Hill sought a consensus of his board before writing this, and this is a proper thing to do. The second page is an endorsement from Mayor Jan Marks endorsing a particular council candidate. Now, each of you took stands on issues and perhaps endorsed people when you ran for office and continue to do so, using your title as mayor or council member to make those endorsements. And again, that's proper. All of you remember Mayor Gavin Newsom taking a stand on gay marriage rights back in 2004 with his famous line, "The door's wide open, ready or not, here we come." And he says right here that he is willing to sacrifice his political career taking that stand. Just a quick front page of Lois Capps' website where she takes a stand on a number of issues. She's bringing these issues to the public and to her colleagues in Congress, trying to forward ideas. And that's what you're here for, is to forward ideas and to deliberate. So I was disappointed to see a number of comments on the Tribune articles that regard item 11 tonight that say that your mayor is going rogue, that she did not seek the consensus of council first. And if you're seeing those things or you're thinking them yourself, well, you're flat wrong. Every one of you needs to get issues out, or should, or you can sit back in your chair and just vote or look to your colleagues. But a leader doesn't look at everybody else. They undertake an issue and they try to sell it either to us, the public, or they're hearing it from the public and they're trying to sell it to you. So it's absolutely proper and right, and it's free speech, and it's leading and not following. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Is there anybody else who wanted to come forward from the audience for public comment? Come on forward. And if there are others who wish to speak, please come and get in line because that'll help move the process along a little bit. Thank you. This is just for public comment. Yeah. It's not any specific item on the agenda.
Appreciate the opportunity. I lived in Grover City for some 19 years. Had a little preschool over on Mentone.
Would you give us your name, too, please?
I'm Annie Steele.
Thank you.
And so I'm pro-Grover. I am pro-Five Cities. I even took my mother back to Georgia to bury her, came back here to live. So I am here, and I am an advocate of this community. I'm also an advocate of protecting people, protecting the animals, protecting our planet. Now, in protection, I mean that I protect. I don't stomp on somebody else's right to do something. But what I'm talking about is protecting. Now, we have a resource. And what I want to do is protect it. Now, there are other opinions as to where I'm. We have an agreement that was made by state parks. That was a legal document signed by them and by cities here in our area, agreeing that there would be two entrances to our beaches. Two. Currently, we have only one. Is this causing harm to people currently visiting our beaches right now? Are they put in jeopardy by this fire? Are they able to get out safely? Are the fire trucks and rescue trucks able to get in safely to rescue people on our beach? Why hasn't this second entrance been created and finished by now? It's well over 30 years. 30. The agreement was that they were going to have it done within 3 to 4. It's not done yet. Why?
I'm going to have to ask you to wind up. Thank you very much.
7 seconds left.
Actually, the red light's flashing.
When it says on here. Why isn't it done?
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wanted to come forward during the public comment? Okay, seeing none. Did I see someone say they wanted to come forward? No? Okay, we'll close this public comment now, bring it back to the council. And we're going to move now to our consent agenda. And nobody had any questions on that, is that right? So I'm looking for a motion.
I move we.
Sorry. Oops, did I miss something?
Yeah,
I sure did. Excuse me. Okay. Item 3, weed abatement cost protest hearing, and that, I believe, is Fire Chief Hubert and Battalion Chief Heath. Is that right? Or maybe just Battalion Chief Heath.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. Ricky Heath, Five Cities Fire Authority. This evening, I'm here to talk about the weed abatement cost protest hearing. On May 6th, the council adopted resolution declaring the weeds as a seasonal nuisance. On May 24th, the citywide inspection was conducted. We found 97 lots in violation. On June 3rd, council reviewed that list and held a protest hearing. Excuse me, I've been on a fire.
Yeah.
deadline for owners to abate their property was on June 1st. On June 2nd, the authority did a reinspection of all the lots, and on July 1, the contractor started to abate. So it's only 5 lots remaining that were in violation, as compared to last year's 26 lots. Tonight we have the cost protest hearing, and if anybody has a protest, they have an opportunity to come speak with me out in the lobby. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Does staff have any, or sorry, council have any questions of Battalion Chief Heath?
Just one. Just one. Has anyone come to speak with you today?
Not yet.
Of the 5?
Nobody yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
That was my question.
Good question. Okay. If you want to, I'll stay available, but I'll go ahead and open this to the public. If there's anyone from the public who'd like to come forward on this matter. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. Was there council comment on this?
No, I'm ready to make a motion.
Great.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. Mayor Pro Tem Bright made the motion and seconded by Council Member Lee. And this one is a roll call vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that was unanimous. And thank you very much, and thanks for your service on the fire. We're glad you got it out. And we're moving this time now to the consent agenda. And were there any questions or anything from staff or from the council on that?
Just look here real quick, fast.
Oh, okay. In that case, I would entertain a motion.
Then I will make a motion, since I'm going, that we accept the consent agenda as presented. And, yeah, that's what I'd say.
Okay, moved by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Do we have a second?
I'll go ahead and second that as well.
And seconded by Councilmember Lee. This is a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That was unanimous. Now we will move to regular business, and this is the proposed lease of commercial space located at 180 Highway 1, and City Manager Peralt is going to make that announcement.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council. As the council is aware, the city owns a small commercial office building located at 180 Highway 1. It consists of about 530 square feet and was formerly used by the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. The building itself has been vacant for approximately one term, commencing on September 1st, 2013. The monthly lease amount is $775. This is consistent with the per square foot leasing of commercial area, commercial space within the area. The amount also includes payment for utilities, since the utilities on that site are master metered. The use is visitor serving, so it fits well with our current general plan and what we intend to do in that particular area. After further discussion with Mr. Weiss, it's been determined that he's going to also have advertising racks available within the store for marketing purposes, both of the city and the local area, and we'll also have Amtrak schedules available, because there are a lot of times when train customers will venture down to the site. Consequently, staff is recommending that the council authorize the city to enter into the agreement with Mr. Weiss and Monarch Grove Winery for the city-owned facility at 180 Highway 1. Obviously, the alternatives the council has available to you, you could determine not to lease the facility at this time, or you could provide staff with additional direction. Mr. Weiss is with us this evening in the event that you have any questions of him. Thank you.
Thank you. Do the council members have any questions? Yeah,
I do. Really important question. What sort of what wines do you produce?
Good evening. My name is Joe Weiss, and yes, right now we've got about five different varietals available, and we've been advertising locally, trying to Facebook and having people down there and doing sales out of that. But it's primarily been a wholesale operation. Getting it outside the area and marketing it that way. So this will be a great opportunity to keep the wines local. They're locally made down there and off of Farrell on Griffin. And, yeah, I'm really excited to have a location where we can serve our wines to the public.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The only thing is I can't get there by 5, Monday through Friday.
Well, we're going to have special events.
Okay. Very good. I think it's a fabulous idea.
Any other questions?
I just had one question. It's more of an educational question for myself, and maybe it's appropriate for you or for our city manager. Does your ABC license travel to this location, or do you need a special event license?
No, we'll be posting, or we already have a posting there of our license. It's an additional license that we get for the tasting room.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's already in progress and already taken care of?
Yeah, it'll take about 6 weeks to get that license completed.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Just one question. This is mainly for staff, I think, Mr. Weiss. So I saw that the lease agreement includes water, wastewater, electric, and gas, but there's no provision for an adjustment to the lease amount should those utility costs fluctuate.
I guess the $75 amount was considered probably sufficient enough to cover it at such a small use over the 3 years of the use.
Good. Thanks.
I do have one more question. Mm-hmm. And how many seats would you have? Well, how many people could you accommodate?
There's a lot of different ways of running a tasting room. One of the concepts is just to have a bar area,
mm-hmm.
and you handle groups just as a walk-in and mm-hmm. serve them the wine, they taste it. And it's not so much a bar, a wine bar, where they'd be sitting for a
right.
long period of time.
So what would be the occupancy then, I guess?
Yeah, we're going to have to find out the occupancy rate. We haven't gotten mm-hmm. that far yet.
I guess it would be different if they sit or if they stand. There would be a difference in the occupancy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The actual usable space in there is pretty limited, so we're looking at a couple tables and some chairs around it, but then the bar area.
Okay.
Because we're going to have retail items, two T-shirts and right. Monarch Grove things.
Okay. Thank you.
One more question.
Yeah, I just have a comment. This is one of those moments where you think, why didn't I think of that? Sounds like a great idea. Welcome to Grover Beach.
I've been working on it for quite a while. We've owned a business in Roy Grandy for 28 years, and I've been looking for a business concept like this for a while. And I went for it a year and a half ago. I got my license down there in Grover, and it's been really successful working with local farmers and buying really great fruit.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a great product just ready to get it out there.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good.
We're thrilled to have a winery in Grover Beach. Thank you.
Yeah, the city's been very welcoming to new industries, too. It's exciting.
Great. So I think that we've exhausted our council member yep. questions. I'm going to open this to public comment and see if anyone from the public wanted to come forward on this matter. Oh, I see one. Come on up. And if there's anyone else who wanted to talk, please come up and stand in line so we can keep things moving. About this?
I'm ready to make a motion.
That sounds good.
So I'm going to go with it then. So I'll make a motion that we authorize entering into a lease agreement with the Monarch Grove Winery for the city-owned property at 180 Highway 1 and the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
Moved by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Do we have a second?
I'll go ahead and second that with a comment. So, and the only comment I'd like to make is that I think it was a wonderful idea for Mr. Weiss to step forward, and I think it was also very prudent on our city manager's part to have the public restrooms excluded from the lease mm-hmm. so that it's not a requirement of Mr. Weiss to keep them clean. So I think that was a very good negotiations on both parts. So to keep his allow him to keep his facility as contained as possible.
Yeah. Mayor, and yes. I will apologize for not catching that. We're going to have to start the item over without you.
Oh.
You have a conflict of interest on
so
this item.
I am so sorry. I do. Yes, my office and my home are right across the tracks. Okay, I'm going to have to excuse myself because I live too close. My apologies. So, Mayor Pro Tem Bright, have fun with
for
this
for heaven's
one.
Sakes. Yeah. Oh, my word. It's right there. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Also excited. We didn't pay any attention.
So close. I bet it fails this time.
If it does, it'll be your fault. Okay, well then, we already have a motion on the floor, so what do we do, sir?
I think my recommendation would be that you start over.
Start over?
That's correct.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, I would not suggest that there's a need to give a staff report.
Right.
Okay.
My suggestion would be just to re-entertain the motion.
Okay.
Should we open public comment one last time?
Yes.
Open public comment one last
okay.
time.
Okay. All right, then. So we're going to open public comment again in case anybody didn't hear what we've already said or someone else wants to speak about wine some more. No? Okay. We do have good. Someone who wants to speak a little more about wine.
Okay. I'm being facetious here.
My
name's Gary
name,
Kirkland.
Thank
I
you.
Live in Atascadero. I'm a Methodist. Methodism was founded by John Wesley. John Wesley believed, and Methodist still to, I guess, this day, good Methodist, which I'm not, that liquor, alcohol of any kind was evil and a sin, and people should not have alcohol. Now, being a libertarian, I believe people should make that decision themselves, and that's between them and their God. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, thank you very kindly. That's probably more information than we really needed to know, but thank you so much. Oh, hello, Heidi.
I'm an Episcopalian.
Well, I'm so glad.
And we all love wine. So.
That's why we love you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Oh, So may I now call for the question?
Sure. I'll make a motion that we... is that where we're heading to?
I hope okay. So.
Let's make a motion that we enter into a lease agreement with Joe Weiss of Minard Grove Winery for the city-owned property located at 180 Highway 1, and that the mayor execute an agreement on behalf of the city.
Very good.
I'll second that motion with my same comment.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is this a voice vote? Roll call? Can't remember where we are. Help me, somebody. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. So, thank you, sir, for looks like we're going to have a new tenant and the first tasting room in our city. Very swell. So can we get our mayor back so she can handle this meeting, please?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Bright. So we finished that matter? We're done with that?
We're done with
okay, great.
It was so difficult.
Yes, I'm sorry for causing problems there. Moving now to item number 11, which we moved up in the agenda.
Now you get the easy part.
This is the easy part. Yep. So this is a matter that I actually brought to the council, and what I'd like to do is to make my presentation, and then I will open it actually to the council for questions, if they have any, of me. And after that, I'll open it to the public to comment, and would ask that all of you, again, keep your message to 3 minutes if you can. And it's going to be a few seconds before we get to you, but thank you for lining up. Don't move. And I will also call the folks here. So I brought this one forward because years ago, when Council Member or Mayor Pro Tem Bright and I were campaigning for City Council, we met with a group of them, and that has continued, that the writing in the dunes is really important to us. And so when we came up with the situation of a ruling on that's coming up from the APCD on the 24th of July, the more I thought about it, the more concerned I became, because I realized that most of you in Grover Beach didn't really know what it was about. It's very complex, and didn't really understand that it was coming up, and didn't understand the implications. So it was really important to me that I get that out to you. I felt if I were to go to that meeting and I was not going to speak up about the impact it has on all of you and allow you have the opportunity to do that. If you were unaware of that and I said nothing, I would have felt that I was sneaking something by you, and I did not want to go there. And I'm aware that that this has taken some of you out of your comfort zone. I'm aware that it's taken my council in some cases out of their comfort zones, and it certainly has taken me out of my comfort zone. But for me, the lesser of two evils was being out of my comfort zone and speaking up. The greater of the two evils would be to have said nothing and have not given you the opportunity to have a voice. So your voice is whatever your voice is, and I support what my community wants. And if you're happy with the way it is, I'm happy to hear that. But what I most of all want is I want you to be aware, and I want to hear from you. And that includes the people who don't agree with me. And this is a democracy, and that's the whole point. So it's very important that we speak up, and that we speak up respectfully, and that we hear one another, that we have vigorous debate, and we arrive at a solution. My hope would be that we arrive at a solution that is in the best interests of all concerned. I believe we can do a win-win. I don't think we have to have health or vehicles. I don't think it could. I think there are ways that we can do it otherwise. And so my hope would be to hear from you all. And I wanted to just give you a little bit of information. The history of all of this is that on the November 7th, 2011 City Council meeting, the Council provided direction regarding the adoption of Rule 101, which we often refer to as the dust rule. And I support the direction that was given. At the time, I wasn't as aware of what was going on as I am now, but I know that Council Member Nichols and Mayor Scholes both brought this forward and wanted the Council to consider it, and I believe also Mayor Pro Tem Bright, as the APCD representative, brought it forward. And here's what the Council asked for at that time. The Council asked that public health be a priority. They asked that the state and APCD be encouraged to continue to work collaboratively They asked, they said that the council cannot support the dust rule as it was written, and they would prefer to have the hearing be continued to a date uncertain. The council asked that the rule be revised to eliminate fines, and in order to eliminate fines, we would have to remove the requirement that the state park have a permit to operate the vehicle area. They asked that there be a particulate matter reduction program that would be based on best practices and be approved by the APCD board, not just by the APCD control officer. The council also asked that the final rule be based on scientific data and that the APCD consider additional data being completed by state parks. And they stated that the council would like the board to revise the draft rule designating the board as the final authority rather than just one individual, such as the Air Pollution Control District control officer. In adopting the dust rule, most of the above requests were not actually included by the APCD board. And since that time, there's been some additional information that's come forward that I believe further supports the council's position of 18 months ago. This information includes, and I'm going to read this because they actually specifically asked that I use this statement, response from the California Geological Survey and other technical experts, including environmental and air quality professionals, who extensively reviewed the Phase 2 study and its appendices. From these reviews, as well as from subsequent analyses of available and acquired data, it was determined that the Phase 2 conclusion attributing elevated concentrations of particulate matter 10 on the mesa to off-highway vehicle recreation at Oceano Dunes State Vehicle Recreation Area was not supported by the data presented in the Phase 2 document. And I have attached all of these documents, so they're all available online, and possibly we have copies in the back as well. The other thing is that other air pollution control districts who have state vehicle recreation areas in their districts do not charge this level of fees, and nor do they require a permit. There's not one other that requires a permit of their state vehicle recreation area. Also, the state California Attorney General has asked state parks to join a lawsuit and an appeal against the Slow Air Pollution Control District regarding Rule 1001. The Rule 302 that's coming before us on July 24th at 9 o'clock requires that a study be done prior to applies for a permit by July 31st deadline, then the Air Pollution Control Officer will have the sole and exclusive right to administer this new permit with no oversight from any elected body or the APCD board, and will also have the sole and exclusive right to unilaterally pull the permit, which of course would send millions of visitors away, would destroy the incomes of scores of small local businesses and their employees. The strategic, just to put this in context, the strategic marketing group in a 2011 study, and I've attached that also, indicated that the economic impact of our riding on the dunes is $171 million a year. And they also indicated that 70% of the people who come to our park here would not come to the county if there wasn't riding on the dunes. So if it's $171 million a year, you can take away $100 million from our economy. Furthermore, it employs 2,000 people, take away two-thirds of those 2,000 jobs, and attracts about 2,000 visitors a year, take away two-thirds of that. So that would leave the whole county, but especially us in the five cities, that would leave us really vulnerable. And my concern is not that we have accountability for state parks. Although they've said they want to do the study, they're doing the study, and they have some mitigation plans. My concern is not accountability for state parks, but my concern is that there's no accountability for when there's one man or one woman or one individual who can yank a permit that affects this many people's lives. The study... The study is available for all of you to see, and my other concern is that hundreds of thousands of dollars right now are being spent in this project. So if I could just explain that a little bit. First of all, I can tell you that state parks spent $220,000 to determine on the mesa where the plume is so that we know which neighborhoods are worst affected by the dust on the mesa. They've also spent $550,000 putting in 22 monitors, which are out in the park right now. And over $100,000 have been spent by the APCD in legal fees. They spent, I believe, $85,000, $95,000, and have approved another $30,000 to $40,000 for legal fees in fighting an appeal. And that's just the APCD. I'm sure that State Parks has some pretty high legal fees, too. There's money going to the State Attorney General, who's supporting State Parks, Friends of the Dunes, in their appeal. And there is money that's gone out to the Geological Survey. So there's a lot of money going out to a lot of different state agencies. What I would really like to see is allowing State Parks to do the job that they want to do, that they've committed to do, that they are doing, to do the research in the dunes, and allowing them to figure out how best to mitigate the dust that goes up on the mesa. And I believe that the very best way to do that is to take the money that's going to four or five different state agencies and their lawyers, take those funds, apply them to the research, and apply them to the mitigation so that people's health is addressed and is taken care of. And I believe that State Parks have demonstrated their willingness to do that. Back in 1982, there was a huge controversy about whether or not we should have riding on the dunes. It was made, Sierra Club worked together with State Parks. Riding on the dunes was made much safer. It was contracted significantly, but it's now much safer than it used to be. And we're managing to take care of the environment. The snowy plover, which was the big concern, we can't have riding on the dunes because of the snowy plover. In our park, the snowy plover has the highest fledge rate in the United States, and that's because the funds that are coming from the riding on the dunes. So the point I'm making here is that State Parks is sincere, they're qualified, they follow through, they have a great reputation with us as a city, and they have a great reputation in the county and the state, and I would like to give them the opportunity to take the funds that are going everywhere else and apply them to solving the problem. So my request is that I'm going to ask you to hold. Thank you, but I'm going to ask. What I'd like to do when we're all here is I'd like us all to treat each other with respect, and I'd like us to come up, see if we can propose solutions to the problem. So applause. I can't tell you can't do it, but if we could kind of hold the applause and hold and allow people to speak freely, that would be super. Thank you, and so my recommended action for this is that the city council take a look again at the recommendations we made 18 months ago, and if they concur that those were good suggestions, I'd also like them to consider suggesting that the APC do a study before proposing any further fees, the required study for Rule 302, and I'd like to ask the council to request that the requirement for a permit. So what I'm asking from you tonight is to take a look again at the recommendations that the city made 18 months ago, and three of us were here, but you two weren't, and also to request that a study be done before proposing the Rule 302 fees, and finally to request that there be no permit, because originally the city had requested that we have no fees, but the fees, most of the fees are attached to the permit. So in order to not have the fees, we have to not have the permit. So that's my request. And yes,
I apologize. Mm-hmm. I did have.
Sure.
If you're ready.
Yeah.
I did actually come up with one question as I was flipping through my notes. If we go back to the permit in regards to the permit fees and so forth, I was reading through the APCD staff report, the Air Pollution Control District, because I know you don't like acronyms so much. And I'm noticing on page C44, there's a discussion there that says it is much higher, and I believe this is with regards to. If they were to, if the APCD was to permit the fees under their existing rule, and then the discussion is, it is much higher than the district's estimated oversight costs per site. Thus, a new specific fee category is proposed for the ODSVRA control site and activity area monitor sites. Rule 1001 requires at least two sites, and it continues. So this seems to indicate that under their existing rule, the fees would actually be higher than it would under the proposed rule.
That's what they're stating, yes. I didn't crunch the numbers, but that is what the report says.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Any other comments, Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I have comments, but no questions at this point.
Wrong questions. Okay. In that case, then, I am going to open it to the public, and it looks like we've got people in line, so let's go with the line, and if there's some other folks here who've put in their blue slips, by all means, please come forward, and please state your name, your city of residence, and 3 minutes.
Mark Viega, member of Grover Beach United, and I live in Oceano, and I just wanted to read our mission statement. We are promoting prosperity by building a unified alliance of motivated Central Coast citizens working together with city officials, business owners, and the public to support our local economy, welfare, and the quality of life. And I would also like to add that about the earlier comments, I think you've been an excellent mayor so far, and as I've gotten to know you, I think you care a lot about the people of our community, and I hope that you stick around. Thank you.
I'm Linda McClure. I am the president of Grover Beach United. I own American Property Services, and I feel we need to let people know some facts about our last Grover Beach United meeting that have gotten misconstrued considerably. First, we asked Mayor Peterson to come over and give us an overview of the dust rule after the chamber luncheon brought up a subject that brought up many, many questions by many, many of the residents. Many of us did not understand the LeGrandy track. And during the meeting, when the mayor was asked, could she explain that, she asked that we stay on track with one thing at a time because she didn't want to get too many things out there that would confuse one issue from another. I commend her for that. Kevin Rice came to our meeting after several people. We had over 75 people show up in less than 4 days of being told of the meeting. After people had spread the word what the topic was about, it had nothing to do with Mayor Peterson. I personally asked the mayor to introduce him so he could speak because he knows so much about what's going on, and I thought he did an excellent job. Many false statements have been made, from statements that the beach people sleep on the beach, not in our hotels, they cook on the beach, not in our restaurants, they bring no benefits whatsoever. Well, I'm here to tell you that's absolutely incorrect. These people come to our community. They stay in our hotels. They stay in our vacation rentals. They eat in our restaurants. They go to our grocery stores so that they can cook on our beaches. I go down there and visit several of my clients that come from the valley. They buy our real estate. They bring it as second homes, and many of them bring them because they want to live here. They want to get out of the heat. And they love this place. They asked me what we think of Grover Beach. I said, we've got an excellent council. We have an excellent group of government that now finally listens to the people. We have obtained over 350 signatures to date on our petition. Mayor Peterson did not write the petition just out of the blue. I asked her to write the petition because I did not want to make misstatements on it when it went out. Doing the right thing isn't always the most popular thing to do. I'm sure Mayor Peterson will agree with that at this moment. But we want to thank all of you, not just Mayor Peterson, but all of you, because you listen to us.
Because we needed to have a way for the community to come out and voice their concerns, because being in Mongo's, I hear a lot of things, and people are, what about this, what about that? And it basically comes up, okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, Grover Beach United came from, what are we going to do about it? Because if you're not if you're up there complaining about something and you're not willing to stick your neck out and do it, then you're part of the problem, not the solution. Mayor Peterson, I want to commend you on taking a stand. Because you did something, I think it's the correct thing to do, and obviously you hit a nerve, because there's a lot of very powerful people in this room that are here to comment on you bringing this to the forefront. And I think as the public, we are sick and tired of certain things slipping quietly through the night and us passing the bill before we have to read it, or vice versa, or whatever has to be done. Because there's a lot of money that's involved here. There's a lot of fees that are involved here. There's a lot of governments changing money, our money, the taxpayers' money, using it to pay one part to another. And I know there's processes that have to be done and things have to be done legally, but it's also a thing of just saying enough. We have a resource that's out there. It's beautiful. We've been making good steps with the state in managing this resource, and managing a resource doesn't mean not using it. It means using it and managing it for the people, my children and their children. So again, I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want to say that the economy in this is that I would be affected. A lot of other people's businesses would be affected, you know, by the shutting down of the dunes. I thought we were on a real good roll with the convention center getting passed, and all of you and many people that are behind me spent a lot of hours, you know, getting that done, and finally went through all the process to get that done, and it was quite a process, and a lot of money was spent to get that done, and it would be a shame to have that thing come on here when you guys were doing all your calculations on the convention center down there. You counted on the dunes being open, so you know you don't do one thing and then something else comes and then all the numbers change. I wish in the private area I could have the flexibility that the government has in making money. So thank you very much, and let's have a good meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Rader. Next.
Jeremy Ellis. I live here in Grover Beach. I've been here roughly 3 years now. I moved from the valley. I love the beaches being here. I love that you are stepping up, Mayor Peterson, and taking a big blow for us at the beach. I'm also a member of the Sound Outlaws. We go out there on a weekly basis, go out there, clean up, all volunteer time. And for them to try to close the beach, you're going to kill this community. Everything here is going to die. I drive a tow truck here locally. I also live off of the people that come down from the valley when their cars break down. I tell them to save places. So if they just shut down the beach for any reason, this whole town's going to die. That's all I got to say.
Thank you very much. Next.
Hi, my name is Justin Bradshaw. I've lived here for about 7 years now. Moved up from Santa Maria with my family because of the beach. I agree with everything you're doing. That's it.
Thank you. Now, I have a lot of names here, too. I have Dave Eckbaum, former mayor, is here and I think had something to say. And then after that, Carla Haney. And after that, Steve Lieberman.
Thank you. Dave Eckbaum, Gower Beach. I would like two things. One, that you would look for the dollars involved here. I was on the APC board representing Grover for many years. When they left the county fold, they didn't want to be under the county administrator. So they went off on their own away from county government. With that, they lost their funding source. So now they have to pay their own way. And that is the big driving force right now. Their budget in the future is projected to be very underfunded. They need to find a new source of revenue. They are going to lose the Morro Bay plant pretty soon. They can't hit Diablo much harder. And so they found this pocket of gold, this barrel of gold out in the dunes, and that's the ORV fund in the state parks. And so I think a lot of the driving force of the administrator and the staff of the APCD board is just looking at. I don't think that this is any health issue any more than has been generated there for thousands of years. The only change, I think, is that because of all the development up there, you've cut down all the trees, and so what used to be blocked by the trees is now wide open. So I think you're getting more sand blown up farther into the mesa. So if the monitoring stations are out there farther in the mesa, it's because of the development that's up there. It's not because of any dunes or dune buggies or anything out there. So anyway, I think you need to stand behind your mayor. Congratulations on you stepping forward with this. And I think your council needs to support you in your efforts to stop this. And thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye.
okay. Please come forward. Yeah.
Carla Haney, Napomo Mesa resident. Historical ambient air monitoring on the Napomo Mesa has documented atypical concentrations of airborne particulate matter compared to other areas of San Luis Obispo County and other coastal areas of California. These historical measurements show that the California health standards for particulate matter 10 airborne particles with a mean aerodynamic diameter of 10 microns or less, dust, is regularly exceeded in many locations on the Napomo Mesa. Population-based studies in hundreds of cities in the United States and around the world have demonstrated that both short-term and long-term exposure to elevated particle levels can cause significant increases in hospital administration, admissions, emergency room visits, asthma attacks, and premature deaths. Groundbreaking long-term studies of children's health conducted in California have also shown that particle pollution may significantly reduce lung function growth in children. Don't you know the insurance companies are going to want to pay for all those bills? To better understand the extent of these sources, two phase two studies were done. Starting in 2004 for phase one and getting to January 2008 through March of 2009. They used phase two study design involved three independent investigations using a broad array of technologies and measurement techniques to better understand the source and sources and activities responsible for the observed particulate pollution problem on the Napomo Mesa, determining the role of off-road vehicle activity and was the key focus of the study. So it is important to conduct measurements and analysis both within and downwind the dunes. So they did this. They got experts. They got people who make their living and are very qualified in air quality. The three-pronged field investigation effort for phase two study gathered well over 2 million data points, requiring nearly a year to review, validate, and analyze the data, and compile the results. The data analysis was performed by three independent research groups involved in designing and implementing the study, followed by peer review of the draft study report by diverse and respected groups of scientists with expertise in the field. This wealth of data and critical review of the results by numerous independent experts combined with the results from the phase one study provides a much more complete understanding of the particulate pollution problem in the area, leading to the
Can
following
you
major
now?
Findings.
We're at 3 minutes.
I'm sorry?
We're at 3 minutes now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Former Mayor Lieberman. And after Steve, we have Arlene Versa and Larry Versa and Laura Mordaunt.
Let me chew up by some of my 3 minutes by saying it's great to hear Dave Eckbaum because you never have to worry about where he's coming from. You haven't changed. Steve Lieberman, Grover Beach. So let me start by talking about, you know, we all believe and we know the economic impacts. We know what draws people to the South County. And I think over my 8 years, I was as involved as anyone else. We actually had former Supervisor Asajian put together a group talking about the dunes, talking about the LeGrand track, talking about viability, talking about options. And unfortunately, politics came into play into that group, and we had to disband. But let me just say that when we came back, when people like I came back, or Shelley Higginbotham and Pismo came back to our councils, we said, here's our findings. We support it. We support the economic impact. We support business economic development that will support that. But we also said we need, as communities, to start looking down the road to see how we can maintain tourism there should things change in the future. And I'm thinking today it's pretty safe to say that we haven't done any of that long-range planning. I'm really here today to
have objection to is the way she is going about doing it. She's flat out not telling the truth, and she's mischaracterizing information. Let's start with the fact that Larry Allen does not have the authority to shut down the OHV, nor has he ever expressed any desire to do so. Only the APCD board or the hearing board that is appointed by the APCD board has the authority to close down the park. Concerned Citizens of Clean Air, for Clean Air, which I represent, also has never advocated closing down the OHV. All we're asking for is for state parks to do what it ought to do and clean up the air so that we are not subjected to daily pollutants, as you would want you to if you lived there as well. And this can be accomplished with an operating OHV. As for her presentation tonight, it is full of fallacies and misstatements, and I'd like to refute them one by one. She states that the other OHVs do not charge fees or require permits. The fact is that not many other APCDs have off-road vehicle parks. None have any close to population areas, which is why you need a permit. In this case, we are unique. But Hollister is required to have 3 monitors for dust, and State Parks pays the Monterey APCD for oversight. Imperial County requires all OHVs to have a dust plan, which is approved by its controlling officer with enforcement fees. So that's not a true statement. The California Geological Survey and other unnamed experts, that was a study that was commissioned by State Parks. It was paid for to refute the Phase 2 study. It has never been peer-reviewed. So why would anybody believe it when you have on the other side a study that was done by many agencies, peer-reviewed by 6 different independent agencies, with 2 million data points? I ask you, why would you believe that one refutes the other? The California Attorney General, she says, has asked State Parks to join a lawsuit and appeal against the rule. The fact is just the opposite. The California Attorney General is required to represent state parks because it's a state agency. That's what the AG does in California and every other state. It is the attorney for state agencies. So it was just totally the opposite. The fact that Rule 302 requires that a study be done prior to adoption, particularly regarding economic impact, also untrue, because it's not required in this case since we have a single source polluter, and this rule applies when there are multiple polluters involved. I understand I'm running out of time here. Unfortunately, the mayor had a long time to tell you what she thought. I can't refute these because I've run out of time. But for anyone painting Larry Allen as a power-hungry bureaucrat trying to fund his agency is a huge disservice to an honorable public servant. Thank you.
Thank you. Larry Versa, former mayor Versa.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. I'm Larry Versaw. You mentioned I'm a former mayor, a 20-year resident here in Grover Beach. I want to mention that to remind you all because there's a soft spot in my heart for this community and the well-being of this community. So when I speak to you tonight, that's behind everything that I have to say. I live on the Mesa now, so I see a different viewpoint of the issue that's being discussed, essentially APCD's activities. What I've seen tonight, what kind of troubles me a little bit, is that there's a lack of distinction between accepting that there's a dust problem that's a huge health issue in this county and that needs to be mitigated, and the saying that equates to shutting down the dunes. I keep hearing that. Going to shut down the dunes. That hasn't been a solution that's been suggested in regards to mitigating the dust problem. That's not on the table. My longtime friend and esteemed colleague, Dave Eckbaud, and I can't even talk about this matter without... This is something we can't even agree to disagree on, which is very unusual for Dave and I, because we have discussed many, many other issues around the city. But I'd like to mention that in this article in the Tribune opinion piece, I'm sure that everybody's familiar with, there's a couple things that are really important for our consideration. And one of those things is what I just mentioned. They're speaking to the mayor's campaign to bring the APCD back under the control, I guess, of those that want to see nothing done on the dunes, and particularly to avoid all of the health issues. They quote, I'll quote out of this, not only is she minimizing the public health issue, Peterson is spreading fear and confusion by claiming that the dunes are in danger of being closed to off-roaders on account of the dust on the dunes. And
you're past your three-minute mark.
Yeah.
I let you go on because I wanted to be fair.
Well, I appreciate you letting me go on. I hope that you'll consider what those words mean to the people that live up there. And they're your neighbors.
Thank you. Laura Mordaunt.
Laura Mordaunt. I live in San Luis Obispo in the county area. And I am forever confused by, you know, I listen to people who live on the Mesa, and I feel for them. I do not quite understand. So if you recently purchased property there, is it ever disclosed? Does real estate sell it to you and then you're stuck? You know, there are issues. Those are other issues that, you know, responsibility is something, a word, that is seldom, I don't hear it here. I hear that the government should fix everything for us. I don't understand that. I do feel that we all should be responsible for the choices we make. If I purchased a home on the Mesa, which when I moved here 9 years ago, I investigated and chose not to live there because I saw, just walking around looking at beautiful properties, wonderful homes, but sand was everywhere, okay? I went out on the dunes on a tour. And if everyone in this room would just go out there all together and you'd see it is nature. It's a natural phenomenon. I do not understand why government is supposed to mitigate that. And when you change the wording, when you change the meaning of words such that all of a sudden government is now responsible through the ruling of a judge, I do not understand that. Where is responsibility as citizens for the choices we make? So I would think that we'd be sitting down with the real estate agencies. We would be interacting with the public. What can you do in your own home? I mean, there are ways to, if you're living there currently, I hope you have some mitigation that you have chosen to implement in your own home. I would be doing that if I were living on the Mesa. I wouldn't be looking to my government to do everything for me. I do not understand that. So if the trees were cut down, plant some more. I'd be growing things. I mean, how much would it cost me to get a big tree and many of them? As a community, what about all the people on the Mesa? Have you put together a fund to replant? I don't, you know, I do not understand. I would think that we as citizens have responsibilities, not just ask everyone in the county to pay for a choice you might have made when it's nature.
Thank you very much. Yeah, come on forward now. It's a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. Thank you, Mayor. I would just ask you, please, Council, do not further embarrass the city of Pismo Beach by throwing such a monkey wrench into a legitimate attempt to enforce the Clean Air Act. As in regards to the information in your packets that the mayor handed out, the CGS document, they were hired by the off-highway vehicle people to refute the Phase 2 study. This is not true science. Also, the Dr. James Enstrom, he wrote that letter on November the 15th, 2011. He was no longer at UCLA and has filed a suit against them for getting sacked. The economic study that you quote, the $170 million, that included gasoline purchases. It's grossly over-exaggerated. If you just go down and look at all the people who are no longer here, IHOP, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Chinese restaurant that was by the post office, Papa John's closed on Monday last week. Bamboo Batu. The list goes on and on. I went down one block of Grand Avenue, and here's what I heard. They don't come down here because there's so much traffic on the beach. And then other comments were, they don't stop. May I suggest to you that the so-called economic engine that you so espouse, that the Off-Highway Vehicle Division of State Parks and Recreation gives us, does not stop on Grand Avenue. And it leads to lives being crushed, their life savings gone, because they believed your traffic count. They put everything into these businesses, and they fail one after the other after the other after the other. Look at your own records of the failed businesses on Grand Avenue.
Nobody matters to me. It always has. I think that the issue that's presented tonight has become a huge and unnecessary distraction from what we should all be focusing on and what our council should be doing. I think that, you know, I think I'm probably in the best place to assure people, both as a member of the Board of Supervisors and as the second member representing this community on the Air Pollution Control District, that there is absolutely no threat to the recreation area, the riding area of the Dunes. That is not true. We have never had a discussion at the board. We have never had a discussion at the APCD board about closing the recreation area. That has never been discussed in any discussion we've had about the particulate matter pollution on the dunes. And so what's going on is that there's a lot of fear and anxiety being spread to merchants and to residents and to visitors that's unnecessary, because there is no threat there. The dust rule does not pose a threat. The Air Pollution Control District itself does not pose a threat. The county does not pose a threat. When I first ran for this office, I met with all of the existing council members then and many of the residents and assured them that I supported the recreation area, and that hasn't changed publicly or privately. It has not changed in my role on any level in the county. And so I would like to offer you a chance to basically just say, you know, we don't really need to focus on this. There's not a threat. I've provided, all of you, and I'll hand it out, I'll leave it here for anybody here, some factual corrections to some of the statements that have been made. But I think this is a good chance to hopefully diplomatically say, you know what, this is not the issue that it's being made out to be. Let's see if Larry and Dave can talk again. Let's, this is a false debate. We don't need to have it. I would love to see you focus on all the other things as I continue to work with your city on the equestrian staging area for the lodge. These are the important things that I enjoy helping you on, and I love to hear what your input is on a variety of issues in the county as well. And I like serving with each of you, but I just think this is an opportunity now for us to just say, you know, this is not really what's going on. Let's put it aside. Let's focus on what matters, and let's not cause more anxiety in our residents and our
Thank
business.
Thank you, Supervisor Hill.
Thank you. I'll leave this on the table to the side.
Pam Dunlap, I'm a resident of the Napomo Mesa. To clear up a misconception, I moved there 12 and a half years ago. We didn't find out about the dust rule until 3.5 years ago. There was no disclosure because nobody knew about it. Contrary to what you've been told, there is no negative economic impact to businesses in Grover Beach from what is known as the dust rule. What the dust rule does is simply require state parks to control the dust emanating from their property, just like every other landowner in this county. It doesn't matter whether it's man-made or natural. The dust is going off of their property, and they have to control it. It does not and never will close the riding area. It does not and never will keep vehicles off the beach. There is something that does have an impact on the economy of Grover Beach, and you may not have thought about it. Those of us who live in the Arroyo Grande portion of the Mesa must come down to the Five Cities area to do most of our shopping for goods and services. We don't have much up there. My husband and I do grocery shopping in Grover Beach, shop for gas here. We have our cars serviced here. We eat in your restaurants. Roy's Barbershop is here, and my hairdresser is here. I was kind of curious
about how much money we spent here last year. So I went through some credit card statements and tried to remember the cash purchases. And I know I didn't remember everything, but we spent over $6,000 in Grover Beach last year. Now, there are more or less 1,000 households in the north part of the Mesa. I kind of know because when we started working on this dust issue 3.5 years ago, I walked a lot of those neighborhoods. Assuming that our household size is about average and that our spending is lower than some, higher than others, North Mesa residents contribute $6 million to your economy every year. And yet we hear that local businesses want to take away what some of their customers have been fighting for years. We are neighbors. We have each other's backs. We want to help your economy, and we want you to support us in our efforts to get the dust rule enacted and you know, enforced. State Parks and the Off-Road Lobby were just told by the courts that the dust rule is valid and the APCD has a right to enforce it. Now they've changed their tactics in hopes that everyone gets riled up and want to pit neighbor against neighbor. Don't go for this. You're being given...
to come in later and say, oh, I changed my mind. I took a trip out to the dunes as well recently, and there's 20 to 25,000 acres out there. Number of things going on out there. It's a geological structure, a lot of sand. I was impressed by the wind that was constant and unrelenting. I could observe sand being picked up and cast into the air, moving inland. I also noted a few off-road vehicles moving about on 1,500 acres set aside for off-highway vehicle recreational use. I was told by park officials that off-highway vehicle users don't really like to drive in the strong wind. I noted very little dust being kicked up by off-highway vehicles. My conclusion is that living behind this large, approximately 25,000-acre geological structure puts homeowners in line to eventually become a fossilized geological artifact. There is so little actual land dedicated to off-highway vehicles that it is hard to conceive that off-highway vehicles could make any significant dust trouble at all. I recommend that the APCD board reconsider the dust rule and all board members be required to tour the dunes to experience the obvious. I question the motives of the group that is trying to push this through and pushing against the dunes out here in the dune recreation area. It's kind of ridiculous to have one government agency paying another government agency rather than taking that money and doing something with it to keep down the dust, like plant more trees. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have, is Annie Steele still here?
My question, I had 3 minutes earlier in open comment. Do I still get...
You have 3 minutes in this topic, yes.
Thank you.
And then Andrea Seastrand, Edward Veek, Kevin Rice, Jeannie Nix. Go ahead and come forward. We'll
just come on forward.
Up. Yep. And then we had Ed Waggy and Peter Keith also. And if there's anyone else who wishes to speak, you may speak without a blue form. So feel free to come forward.
Okay. My name is Edward Veek. I'm from Atascadero, and I enjoy your city very much. There are some in our society who want no industry, and they want no recreation. They don't want us to walk on the beaches. They don't want us to walk in the trees. And it sounds like that the APCD is trying to keep us off the beach. If no one is on the dunes there is a strong wind, the wind blows the dust anyway. Now, if we left it alone and nobody went on the dunes, eventually all those houses on the mesa would be buried in sand. Mm-hmm. So we want a mitigation fee if the dust gets too high. This is ridiculous. It's going to get high whether there's people on the beach or not on the beach. And so why are we paying ourselves to pay someone else? All it is government control. I'm against government control. I'm against the dunes dust rule. I think you ought to void it out completely. What we're doing with this dust rule is we're setting a precedent. The next step would be saying, well, farmer, you're creating dust when you're plowing your field or harvesting your wheat, and so you can't do that. We're going to have to charge you a mitigation fee on that. And that mitigation fee will take the farmer and put him out of business. Well, then you won't eat. But there are some people in this society really think that we have too many people in our society, and that's a good thing for them. I don't agree with that. Where does it stop? We have to stop the government control and taking of property rights and taking of recreation areas and letting the people alone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come back and speak. I'm Ann Steele, resident Grover, some 19 years with a preschool, as I said before. I'm sitting back there listening to everybody, and we have a wide variety of feelings. We have a wide variety of confirmed facts, wide variety of needs. And I'm seeing a new walkway there where you can take some beautiful pictures, which I will be glad to share. Now then, we have a beautiful city. We have some of the nicest people I have ever met here in Grover. We have some very bright people here in Grover. We need to get our planning people planning to make the best use of our community assets. By that mean skills, artists, musicians, writers, even ministers. They have some very good ideas. Make use of all, and I mean that inclusive. We have a Filipino community. We have a Spanish community. We have a Native American community. We have lots to offer. We need to get representatives from all of those people together, and let's say all make good choices for our future. We have something very special. Let's not ruin it by debating facts that don't exist. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrea Seastrand.
Good evening. As a 14-year-old, yeah, I wish. As a 14-year resident of Grover Beach, I support Mayor Peterson's requests. I think the three requests she made are very reasonable. I would just say that when we take the tour or when we go with our families to the beach, it's very evident that's an ecosystem that has been there for thousands and thousands of years. And as I had mentioned to some of you, I am not a geologist, archaeologist or such, but it doesn't take much to understand the wind is there, it's blowing, the sand is there, it's blowing. It blew long ago, it's blowing today, and it will blow after we're long gone. It is an ecosystem, a natural one, and we need to respect it. I think if there's any arguments to take about the wind blowing and the sand, I think we need to take it with a higher power. he's in charge or she's in charge. Anyway, my point being is that I support Mayor Peterson's requests, and I hope that you'll give it consideration tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeannie Nix.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I'm Jeannie Nix. I live in Pismo Beach, and over the probably a 50-year period with a couple of breaks in between, I've lived in this county, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Pismo Beach. So And one of my favorite pastimes back when I was in my 20s was out on the dunes. And so I do understand the attraction and the fun out there that can be had. As well, I understand the wind and being on the beach and hiking in the dunes or driving and the wind is there. It's natural. It's always been there. And it doesn't matter whether you're down at Pismo Beach and the wind is blowing up onto the streets or whether you're in Grover Beach or down farther, the wind blows. I think that I heard a lot of people trying to justify that Larry Allen and the APCD board have never said that they want to close the beach to vehicles, and that may be so. However, the very fact that the state parks are subject to onerous fines if they should have dust that exceeds the amounts that are allowed by APCD, then those fines, the state parks have a limited budget, as do we all. And so I could foresee the time when it wouldn't be that the Larry Allen said close the beach, but it would happen because state parks couldn't afford the price of the penalties for having wind blow, and state parks can't do anything about the wind blowing. They can use, I would say, they can use best practices and try to do some management strategies to help reduce the effects of the sand. But that wind has been blowing for millions of years, and so if in fact the state said to themselves, oh, here's a big wind coming, we better close the beach because we don't want those fines. And so, okay, fine, they close the beach. People come and they're disappointed. That's going to make people who come from out of the area to enjoy our beaches, going to make them less apt to come. They're going to hesitate. Oh, will it be closed when I get there? Because how can the state parks make a big notice every time the wind is going to blow? So I feel that while no one may be saying we're going to close the dunes, I
formally changed my address just a short time ago. There is an elephant in the room, and I think someone ought to acknowledge the question, and that is, does Steve Lieberman actually wax his head?
Shaking
his head, no. Okay, back to the seriousness of this issue this evening. I have a couple of questions. The first one begins with, do people have a right to breathe clean air? Obviously, the answer is yes. They have a right to breathe air that's as clean as possible. The other is, do people have a right to recreate in the state-designated recreational area? The answer is obviously yes. And so with those two questions, or those two answers, whichever you choose to look at, or both, then it becomes, who do you trust? And who do you trust to monitor it? Who do you trust? Monitoring means monitoring the air. Who do you trust to mitigate the difficulties with particulate in the environment, in the air in particular? I trust state parks. I trust state parks because I've worked with state parks as a technical review team member for the last 10 years, working on mitigation for the snowy plover, least tern, steelhead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know how they operate. I know how they work. I know about their inclusiveness. I don't know about the APCD. I see them as an agency who wants to be funded. I see them as an agency who probably is most sincere in determining that they want to have certain standards in the air. But who's going to do that? It will be state parks. State parks is the mandated agency to oversee recreation in the dunes. They should be the mandated agency to, in fact, monitor it. And, in fact, they should be the ones who offer significant or whatever mitigation needs to be acquired to reduce the dust particles in the air. I hope you will support Mayor Peterson's position that the APCD, in fact, should not be the permit holder and should, in fact, be the agency that should be accountable all the way around. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem of Pismo Beach, Ed Waggie.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council members. Pleased to be here again. I was here at the time, just before the dust rule was put into effect. I spoke at that time about the many flaws in the study. Without going through all of it, I'll just touch on a couple of highlights, basically. If we're going to be regulating an entity, we have to have a solid basis for that regulation. And somebody mentioned there are 2 million data pieces from the Phase 2 study. I downloaded all 2 million data points and looked at it, spent a lot of time on it. I also downloaded the data from the Phase 1 study, which was inconclusive. When you look in detail at that Phase 2 study, there's numerous flaws. One of the key ones is the wind speed. They measured wind speed for the riding area behind tall eucalyptus trees at the CDF fire station. For the non-riding area, they measured wind speeds on the dunes themselves. And what they find? Higher wind speeds on the dunes. And in fact, they measured the amount of sand movement. They found more sand moved at the non-riding area than the riding area. And they said, well, it's because of higher wind speeds. But since that study came out, there's been data for the wind speeds from state parks. The Desert Research Institute that came out and did some studies measured wind speeds on the dunes. Both the state parks data and the Desert Research Institute data show much higher, in fact, comparable wind speeds at the dunes and the riding area as the non-riding area where they did the previous studies. The net effect is you can no longer explain why more sand moved at the non-riding area if the vehicles are, making the dust looser and all that stuff. The other key fact is that their main conclusion was we found more dust coming from the CDF fire station location and then downwind of the riding area than we found in the non-riding area. That study did not look at the vast differences between the size shape of the riding area, which was much larger than the non-riding area. I did a comprehensive study and found that you can show you're going to get more dust from that riding area because of the size and shape, irrespective of any riding or not. The bottom line is I looked at all the data and found that there was no conclusive evidence that the riding made a difference. Furthermore, the study looked at day of week, which days had the highest particulate matter. In fact, they did not do that study. I did it. The highest days, if you average it over a year, are Wednesday, Thursday, not the weekend when you have more riders. That was available to the APCD staff. They did not publish it. There's lots of these kinds of things. Right now, State Parks is undergoing a new study, and I would look forward to looking at that data because now we can finally get it.
We had to build schools because there was a lot of building up on the mesa. New homes and everything. We needed a place for those children to get educated. New schools. Another thing, my own son and my grandson both have quads. They go out on the beach and they ride. They do it, a father and a son, and sometimes cousins and so forth. They buy gas here. They buy parts here locally. My grandson is just ecstatic when he gets to do something with his dad. So it's a father and son time. I myself went out on the beach with him, with my son and his truck. Some people from Sonora were pulling in their trailer, going on the beach with their quads and stuff. They got stuck. So my son helped them go on. They didn't understand to lower their tires so that they could go on the beach. And they were so, the sunset was coming, and I was talking to the wife, and she says, this is just gorgeous. I'm so glad we had the opportunity. It was the first time they'd been here. So they really appreciated it. Another man who I guess lives in his car, he got stuck on the beach. My son helped pull him out. And he was so thankful. He wanted to pay him. He says, no, do it for somebody else. And then we talk about the smell and the particles and all that. Has anybody gone down I-5 by Harris Ranch? Think about it, folks. It's not the greatest. So, and then I think Mrs. Seastrand spoke about things that we can't control. So at times they say, well, how come there's so much sand? I said, it's just God sneezing. Okay, next.
Good evening. My name is Lydia Thompson, and my family and myself utilize the dunes quite often. The dust rule, I think, is a little ridiculous. I think I support Mayor Peterson and her proposal on what she's doing on this. But the other thing, too, is what really annoys me more than anything is the APCD. APCD has so much authority over our lives, and they're just appointed. They're not even elected. They're just appointed. And yet they tell us exactly what we have to do and how we're going to do it. Supervisor Hill indicated that there was no indication that the dunes were going to be closed. Well, you know what? Ms. Nix indicated the fact that also, with all of the costs going back to the state parks, eventually what's going to happen is the state parks are going to run out of money, and I can guarantee you there's no money in the state fund to turn around and subsidize it. So it will close. And I agree that the winds have been there for many years. As a matter of fact, I know you're aware of it, but down in Guadalupe, they filmed the Ten Commandments there. Why? Because of all the sand that was there. It was beautiful. And sand's going to be there, and the wind is going to continue, and life goes on. But I think you really have to take a look at the APCD and figure out whether or not they really have that much authority to govern our lives totally. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wanted to come forward?
I'm Mike Argentieri. I go out to dunes all the time. You know, wind's a natural thing. And if it's going to blow, no matter, like they say, no matter, it's a natural thing. It's going to, and if somebody doesn't like the wind where they're living, they need to move. It's their responsibility. They're responsible. They bought that place, and they don't like it, they can move. Don't say, because the wind is blowing here, we have to control it. You can't control it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And I have one more from Kevin Rice. Is there anybody else who wanted to speak? Feel free to come up.
Is Kevin coming?
Well, yeah, you can go after that.
Okay. Is Kevin going to speak?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
He's getting the city clerk some documents to hand to you. First of all, reading straight from Rule 1001, the provisions of this rule shall apply to any operator of a coastal dune vehicle activity area. That means without vehicles, there would be no rule. So it is about vehicles. Supervisor Hill is incorrect. There was a moratorium discussed on many occasions, and Larry Allen has put it in the staff reports suggesting closure or partial closure to do studies. The very same people that are opposing the mayor tonight are ones who have for decades asked for closure and for taking vehicles off the beach. Now, I want to correct some misinformation by the Versailles and others. The rule states by July 31 to obtain an APCO, that's Air Pollution Control Officer, approval of the PMRP. That's the problem your mayor has, that the APCO is singularly responsible and has singular authority to approve the particulate matter reduction plan and apply for a permit to operate. When I apply for a fire permit, I don't come to you, I come to your fire chief. When you apply for an APCD permit, they approve it. Gives none of us the opportunity to review it and criticize it before it's already approved. Now, I was there when Cacho, Director Gibson, and Ms. Bright, I believe, is president of the board at the time, promised us that they'd review additional information as it came forward. But once the study was passed, no way. They didn't review anything. The CGS, California Geologic Survey, are the experts. They're licensed geologic experts, of which there was not one geologist involved in a study about blowing sand at dunes. You have to consider, why is the state attorney general, a liberal Democrat, involved in this issue? There's problems that even the state attorney general has. We were made promises. Those promises weren't kept. And honestly, none of you or I wants to make tonight's meeting a subcommittee of the APCD. All this testimony you're hearing should just be telling you that you need to support having all this at the APCD in front of the right venue. That's what your mayor's trying to tell you, so I'm asking you to support her and push that forward. Please read the documents I gave you. I don't have time to explain them, but you'll see how the APCD treats state parks.
Thank you. I believe you've had your 3 minutes now.
I believe that you...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't allow you to speak.
You cut me off at a minute and a half during public comment.
And I ask that I have my other minute.
I'm going to just recognize someone here first, if you don't mind.
She's actually right. What you did was you had a...
Okay, that's fair. I want to be fair here.
Minute and a half the first time she talked and minute and a half the second.
Okay, we'll go again then. There you go, Nell. You're on.
This is great.
Good. We want to be fair.
Anyway,
no, it wasn't a good try. I'm trying to be fair.
Okay,
let's be fair.
Good. Well, we're
She didn't do that on purpose.
Okay, I'm sure that you didn't. But anyway, Oceano is also affected by this air pollution, and we may not be dying fast enough. Sorry, but okay. About the last statement that CGS, you know, big experts, they're geologists. They're not air quality experts at all. In case you didn't know that. Also, if you really want to know what's going on, go to safebeachanddunes.org. We have documented many of these meetings that have gone on with the APCD and lots of public comment and everything else. SafeBeachAndDunes.org. Now, people here are concerned about the OHV, Off-Highway Vehicle Division of State Parks and Recreation, running out of money. If you're interested in government, you know, really skimming off our taxes, they're the ones who are rich from the gasoline tax. Their main budget is from the fuel tax that we pay at the pump. You're picking on the APCD, you know, and you should be picking on the OHV. They're the ones who are robbing us blind at the pump. And the other thing is, yes, they are. And the other thing is that only pennies on the dollar spent for gasoline stay in this county. So this big study in the $170 million, sure, they're spending $100 on gas to get back to the valley, but only 4 cents on the dollar from that money stays in the county. And it is not just dust. It's silica. It's carcinogenic. It gets in the lungs. It's not just dust. And it is not blowing into the air in any other coastal California area in the state. Only here. And the reason is because there is a dune crust, and we don't have it. You can find it in any other coastal dunes in the state of California. They do not have this silica blowing. It is not getting into people's lungs. It is caused from the vehicles on the beach and dunes.
Thank you. Was there anyone else? You wanted to come forward, yeah.
I won't tell any more jokes about Methodists, I promise. My thing is, I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and we had dust there that makes this whole thing silly to me. In western Oklahoma, where my uncle lived, the dust blew so hard that it went into the house. It wasn't on the outside. It would go through, and we had dust piles in the house.
Wow.
In West Texas, it's just as bad. And the dust they blow there, whether it's carcinogen or not, I don't know, but people died there. All my family died eventually of something. And people are going to die of something, and cancer is just another way to go. And I find if you're complaining about a little dust and sand on the beach, don't go there and do mitigation yourself to solve your own problem. In Japan, many people wear masks. When they have a flu outbreak or something of that nature, they solve their own problems. And then if you're worried about carcinogens, I suggest you run around with a mask. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to speak before we close public comment and bring it back to the council? Okay. I want to say thank you all so much for participating, for being respectful and courteous in the way that you did it, and for taking the time to come tonight. I'll close public comment, bring it back to the council, and of course I have some comments, but I did want to hear council member comments and,
sure.
And then come to the second one. And you were asking what is it I'm asking of you tonight, and is that right?
Yeah, in
yeah,
essence, yes.
Just to be clear on
right.
that. And I would have liked to have brought this to the council on July 1st, and you know, I take former Mayor Lieberman's point that it's something that should have come before you as early as I realized that I felt it was critical. Unfortunately, we didn't have a meeting, and I had a bereavement in the family, and so did not call a special meeting. So I did not bring it to you sooner. And so the reason I brought it to you tonight was it was the soonest time I could get it to you.
Sure.
And it's also the last meeting before the APCD meets. Because the two of you are new to the board, and because it's been 18 months, and because this really is our last opportunity
to weigh in on this, I wanted to give the board the opportunity to take a look at the decisions that we made 18 months ago and just ask if that is still your position, and to give the public an opportunity to weigh in, because I feel it is a critical decision. So that was so what I'm asking of you is, do we as a council stand by the comments that we agreed 18 months ago, which in fact were the points that I have made? I haven't made any. I didn't make points out with our previous standing on that.
So in that, going from that, I'd like to hear Mr. Nichols, Councilmember Nichols, kind of start this, because he was here 18 months ago, and Karen Bright, and yourself, and maybe we work down this way to see how you feel about the position of the city should be taken on this. One last thing, though, is there is a vote at APCD on the 24th, and it's mainly for the fee schedule, is my understanding.
Yes, it's the fee schedule which is attached to the permit.
Right.
And so the two decisions that concern me are the vote for the fee schedule. I believe it's onerous, number one. Number two, and the council previously had said they didn't prefer there not be fees. And number two, there are some long-term implications of a permit that concern me, and I do know that I'd like to see the APCD look at that again, and that would be my request of the APCD. And I think also it's fair to say that we aren't here to discuss the APCD's business, because
not our business.
That's not our job. We are here. I believe my role was to hear from the people and to ask the council how they feel and if they're still in the same position as we were 18 months
right,
ago.
And then take the direction.
Yeah,
that you
so I'm not going to discuss the science or anything else tonight. But
so I'd prefer, and I don't mean to step on council members Lee's questions, but it would I'd prefer.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm good with that.
You good with that?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
So council member Nichols, you were a big part of this years ago.
Thanks a lot, guys.
My pleasure.
I'll tell you, my opinion is, at the time that we voted at the last the meeting back in 2011, there was a question as to whether or not the rule was going to come into effect. The rule has been put in. It was voted in by the board of the APCD.
This is 1001?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. The Air Pollution Control District and the state parks have been working together and will continue to work together. I have not heard any indication that they are not going to continue to work together. There are some scientific studies. There are some differences in the scientific studies. To the best of my knowledge, from everything that I have read, and I have read quite a bit on it, it appears to be opinions. Scientists disagree. They have opinions, just like all of us do. So I don't see a big problem. I don't think that we can solve the problem by eliminating the Air Pollution Control District and their authority. I don't have any indication, and have never had any indication, that they are going to close the dunes. If and when that comes, fine. We will have an opportunity to speak at that time. But I just don't see us worrying about that. We have other things to worry about in this city. We got some real significant things coming up that we've been working on for years that we need to continue to concentrate on. I think the Air Pollution Control District is doing a good job insofar as what they've accomplished so far, what their goals are, and how they're working towards those goals. Insofar as the three items that we have talked about tonight, those are fees to recover their cost. We have fees within our city to recover our cost. I don't see people running in here and complaining about the fact that we have a fee to recover our cost. Personally, I think that's fine. They need to be able to recover their cost to the best of their ability. So I have no problem with that. Insofar as fines are concerned, there have not been any fines assessed by the APCD. Yes, they have that ability. I think we can look around at a lot of people that have a lot of authority to assess a lot of fines. They do not necessarily do it just because they have the authority. I was on the Air Pollution Control Board at problem on the dunes and the dust problem in relation to the dunes and the mesa.
Thank you. I appreciate
my opinion.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well said. Well, I agree with you in many respects there. However, there are a few things, I do need to say. First and foremost, This, I know, is a very emotional issue for both sides of this issue. I come at it from, I have been riding those dunes. My son started riding a quad when he was 3 years old. So, and starting in about 1984, we were out riding those dunes almost every weekend. So I have a real affinity for being in the dunes. It's something that became a real family event for us. We'd pack up, we'd take my mother, we'd go out there, we'd pack, take us 5 hours to pack up to drive 10 minutes. But we loved it. And it was a family event. People would come up, and it was just a great time. We loved it. And I do believe, as well, it's very important to have local people being in the dunes. It's a we were very vigilant about how people treated our area. And now my son goes there with his family. My grandson will be three on the 25th of this month. He has two all-terrain vehicles. And so it's very important. It's important for local people as well, not only for visitors who come here. But he, too, is very vigilant about folks not leaving their trash, not dumping their sewage or their water and that sort of thing. So it's important. So from that respect, I think not only is it important for our economy, but also for the people who live here, because it is part of our local heritage. So, when I was on, I was our representative on the ABCD board for 5 years. I was very, very vigilant about the fact of the dunes staying open, not being closed. Excuse me, I have to have some water. So, having said that, when we started looking at the study and the dust rule and that sort of thing, I was very suspicious of that. So I was talking all the time about one state agency fining another. To me, that just didn't make any sense. You know, the taxpayer ends up paying one way or another. So I was always yapping about that. I didn't want to see that happening. And I can tell you that that hasn't happened. And that board was always very vigilant about that, always talking about not having that happen. And it hasn't happened. So I believe that isn't going to happen, because somebody said that the APCD board is just a bunch of appointed people. Well, they may be appointed by their councils and so on, but they are made up, they are elected. They are elected people, but they are appointed by a board. So they are elected one way or another. They're directly elected by, okay, I'm not going to argue with you folks, but anyway, everyone on that board is elected. So, oh, gosh, I'm getting too old.
We need to let you speak without interruption from the audience.
So, anywho, See, I'm so scattered. So, this is what I'm going to say now. I have no concern about the dunes closing. I do know that the APCO does not have the authority to close the dunes. That would have to be done with the approval of that board. And there's 12 people on that board who all answer to their constituents. I can't imagine what the public outcry would be. It would be 12 times this, at least. Mm-hmm. I would be one of them, and my whole family would be there as well. That is just not going to happen. So to get off of that, then, what is a real concern to me is that we have misinformation, we have half-truths, and that's what concerns me. People are not getting all the, they're not getting the full information. And
I think one of the points that I wanted to make in my own brain tonight is we're not here to discuss or debate the merits of the dust rule. As it's been said on a number of occasions, it's already in effect. And going through the council communications, one of the things that you asked that we do this evening is to take a look and see if we still agreed with those. Mm-hmm. I do still agree with those. However, the dust rule is in effect, so whether I support the dust rule or not is kind of immaterial at this point. And the reason I say that is because it's already been brought forward and voted on by the APCD. In my personal opinion, there's ways to either repeal rules or to change rules or to modify rules, and respectfully, I don't think the way that you moved forward on it was correct, Mayor Peterson. And the reason I say that predominantly is because, and I'm going to disagree with Kevin Rice on this as well, the council in Grover Beach is a council, or the form of government is a council-manager form of government, which means we all have one vote, we all have one say, and if there's something that we want to bring forward, we bring it forward and discuss it as a group, very much as what former Mayor Lieberman was saying. And yes, we do have the right to advocate. Yes, we do have the right to step forward for causes. However, in my opinion, the level that you went beyond the council manager form of government is closer to a strong mayor form of government, where the mayor has a veto power, more like LA or Fresno, where the advocacy of your position took the ability for us to discuss at tonight's meeting almost out of our hands in the fact that, yes, it's great that everyone came out. I believe it was wonderful, and yet the ends don't justify the means in my point of view. Because, unfortunately, you've become the de facto spokesperson regarding this repeal of the dust rule, and I don't think that was appropriate for you to do that. I believe it's completely appropriate for other people to either file lawsuits against the dust rule to try and challenge the various things. I don't think it's appropriate for us as elected officials to champion that cause. And that's where I'll leave it hanging at that. But going towards the... So I'm in support of what we did, what that council did 18 months ago, but again, that's public health should be a priority. State and APCD are encouraged to work together collaboratively. So, and those are the two items that basically are remaining from those items, because we took a position on the dust rule, we as a city lost the vote. And as City Attorney Kazanowicz has said in the past, once the vote is taken, you kind of circle the wagons and work either in conjunction with that, or it goes through the process, whether it be in the courts, in public opinion, or so forth. And then I guess I go back to my initial question at the beginning. If they are going to have a permit, which is in place, or an opportunity for a permit and an opportunity for the APCD to come forward with fees, it appears as if they've crafted them so that it's actually in the favor of state parks at this level regarding the amount of fees that are going to be paid. If they had gone under an existing fee structure, the fees might have been higher, according to the report. Again, I haven't crunched those numbers either. So, lastly, I am also in agreement that I disagree that the dunes are in danger of imminent closure. I think there's a long process that would happen before that occurs. While I respect your right to step forward as a personal advocate, I would hope that you would bring it back to the council before that happens in this fashion again.
Okay. So, Glenn.
Well, good discussion. As I mentioned before, a couple things that I heard tonight were people worried about it being closed, and I think I'm pretty confident from what I've heard there and here, that's not going to happen. If it does happen, it's going to go through a process of its own with, and it would be a public process. It'd have to go to the APCD board. Secondly, it was good to hear Councilmember Nichols kind of give me a little brief history. And the city's recommendations, when we're kind of gone over with the dust rule, that's kind of a dead horse. You had mentioned you wanted the study before the 302 fee went into effect. And the study, maybe you can give me some a little background on the study. It's an economic study.
I would have to go back to the specifics of the thing, but basically, before a rule is enacted, there's a study that's required, and that study was not.
Well, as on behalf of the city of Grover Beach at this
okay,
point.
Thank you. Any other comment? Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
No, I think I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. So I wanted
the only,
to...
Mayor, if I'm sure. The only comment I did not make was my appreciation of the number of people that showed up here this evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty close to a record. I've been on this council for about a little over 6 years now. And to have that much interest in any subject that involves the city, I think is tremendous. And I love to see the people come out and voice their
opinion.
And
I hope that will happen again. I agree with that.
I do thank all of you that showed up. Thank you.
So let me see if I can sum up. And I haven't spoken yet, so I wanted to put my piece in. Every single one of us has a First Amendment right in, or a constitutional right in our state constitution and in our national constitution to speak up. And I've exercised that right this evening. I've exercised it because it will be much harder later. This is your last opportunity to do anything about this. And I understand that having been given verbal assurances, that people trust those verbal assurances. As far as I'm concerned, if you're going to make a rule that's going to be legally binding, we will be going by that rule. We won't be going by people's verbal assurances. So if you don't want to give someone the authority to yank a permit, don't require the permit in the first place. That's my concern. I, for my own self, for my own conscience, I had to go on record as having jumped up and down and hollered about this because I do have concerns that it has very broad implications for our city and it has very broad implications for our state. I believe that position is supported by the state attorney general. And if it does go south, I don't want to be on record as not having stood up and spoken and exercised my constitutional rights. So, yep, I stepped outside of my own comfort zone, and I obviously stepped outside of the comfort zone of my council. I exercised my right, and I stand by everything I said, and I stand by the accuracy of everything I said. Now, I do want to make one caveat on that, because you've heard a quote from Congleton that was taken out of context. I think people who know me, I hope people who know me, know that I don't want people dying. If I wanted people dying, I would probably be standing by what we're standing by right now. Because what I'm advocating is that the funds that are going everywhere else, fighting in court, the funds that are going to the APCD, those go to researching and mitigating the problem with a chosen agency that's proven that they are willing and able to do that. So the context that was in, and if I believe I've made a mistake, I will say so. And I will say I made a mistake. I have a habit of making flippant remarks, and it's not a good thing to do. Most of you who know me know I do that, and I screwed up there. So my apology for that. And if I could give you the context, what Congleton said, and it was kind of quiet, but what Congleton said is, you know, we really need someone to die and leave us a lot of money. We were talking about the context of having the money to do this, to do these studies. And my response was, they can't die fast enough to give us the money that we need. So I'm sorry about that. And thank you. One thing I'm not is a liar, and I am apologizing, and I am admitted I made a mistake. Absolutely. And let me also say to you that one thing I do not do is name call other people and call other people out. And I want you to know that I have not at any point ever called out the air pollution control officer. My concern is not with one person. As one individual, my concern is that we are giving the power, and I stand by this, to allow one person to make a decision that could have huge implications for the whole state. And the reason that the state attorney general is following through with this is because if this permit goes through on July 31st, it can go to the other SVRAs, it can go to the other state parks, and the other category that's included in that is agriculture, which means then that we have set a precedent in San Luis Obispo. Nobody else is doing this. We have made a choice as an air pollution control district to set a precedent that allows state vehicle recreations, state parks, and agriculture to be classed as contrivances, which means that they can all be required to have permits to operate. And I think that that's a very big decision that I think that our county needs to be very conscious of. And so for that reason, I could not in good faith stand by without standing up and speaking. And I'm very grateful to you all for coming forward. I thank you, my board, for speaking out. And at this point, what I will have to do...
9:26, and I am reconvening our city council meeting following a break, and everybody's gone. No more fun. So the next item on our agenda is the response to the grand jury report regarding email accessibility to city government, and that would be City Manager Perrault.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, as you'll note from the report, in early May, the city received a copy of the grand jury's report entitled Email Accessibility to City Government. The report is critical of the city's current practice of not listing individual council member email addresses on the city's website and concludes Grover Beach residents do not have email access to their elected council members and therefore are hindered in gaining access to their elected officials. It's staff's opinion that, in fact, the public does have email access to elected officials. Information for contacting the city council is provided on the city's website and included on business cards of individual council members. A page on the city's website provides instructions for contacting council members in various avenues, including email. And the same website also includes a link to the general group email address for the city council and a link to a contact your city council for which is submitted via email. All emailed messages received are forwarded, as you all know, to the intended addressee. The city does not provide private email addresses of public if officials to the general public, nor do we encourage their use, keeping in mind it's the current city's current practice and recognizing there are options for the council to discuss. I outlined a series of recommendations. Well, actually, what I did is I took the grand jury report, which is also attached, and went through the findings and recommendations, reviewed those findings and recommendations in line with what I've already provided to you, that email addresses are in fact available, and outlined recommended responses. It's not my purpose to require that the council go through each one of these individually. I would suggest that, as far as the findings are concerned, that if the council is satisfied with my response, that there's no need to further discuss them. Relative to the recommendations section, should the council wish to change how email contacts are made, I've listed out a series of options for the council to consider. A is presently the way we're currently acting. And B, C, D, and E outline various variations of that. And number two, I just wanted to clarify in terms of the recommendations that the city does, in fact, have the required Brown Act disclosure information.
That was not nice. My apologies.
No, it was fine. It was very appropriate.
My question basically centers around if all the emails come into GB Admin, just a rough estimate how much time it takes our city clerk to distribute those.
You know, it varies. I would say it really depends on the amount that's received, and that varies considerably.
Okay. Which then leads to a follow-up question, more towards the in management's opinion, is this a good use of learning about what's out there so that you can be proactive with the council?
In terms of whatever option you choose, whether the current you decide to stay, the value of the current situation is that we obviously have opportunities to review those emails, and quite literally, oftentimes what happens, they'll generate questions by council members, then we're able to have those answers available. And should you choose one of these other options, I would suggest that what needs to happen at a minimum is that we receive a copy of the incoming email transaction so at least we can keep on top of things. Some of it is literally so simple as needing to remind you that a meeting or an appointment has been set up for you because you're all busy people, and by us getting a copy of that email, it helps us better serve you.
Councilmember Nichols?
My first comment is I hope that the grand jury has some real good issues to work on in the next year. I think staff has done an outstanding job. I personally like the system the way it is now. I think the response to the recommendations, item A, which is the way it is now, is most appropriate. My personal opinion is I don't think we should change anything, and I think staff has done a good job in explaining to the grand jury that we're in good shape and we're doing a very good job, and we have good communications with our residents in the city. We have good communications between each other, and nobody's trying to go under the table to do anything, and the inference that we might want to do that, I don't pay any attention to.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I don't have any. I have no comment. I think I'm fine with it the way it is, as long as there have been no complaints. So, no, I'm good.
Okay, so it's my turn. And I guess really what we should have done is ask the questions and then open for public comment. I'm going to open for public comment just in case. Any of you three want to come forward? Okay, we'll close the public comment. And, well, I have comments. Well, I do have some questions, actually. Is it possible? Let's see. Okay, here's my thought of how I might like to see it done, and I'd like to know if this is something that would work for the city. Personally, I would be more than happy to have something come to mayor@groverbeach.org and have that automatically forward to my personal email, and I would then set up my Outlook account so that it would go automatically into a folder which was only city folders. And when I responded, so I guess my first question is that possible? Will our system automatic keep a copy and automatic, excuse me,
it Gayla. Probably needs to be Gayla.
Yeah, is our system capable of keeping a copy and forwarding to a forwarding address automatically?
My understanding from our contract IT person is yes.
Okay. So I'm going to repeat that since the mic wasn't on.
Gayla, can you hold up to make sure that the microphone is on? Make sure that it
no,
doesn't
it is.
Seem to... Is it?
I think it is now.
I don't think so. I'm not hearing you. Is it? Okay. Okay, so Gayla's response was, according to our IT expert, yes, it's possible. And one of our... the IT expert chief is nodding yes also. Okay. I think that's the only question I had, but stay available. So, were there, let's go into opinions then. We've opened public comment. Let's go into opinions. Let me hear from other, is there any other opinion that needs to be expressed before I say where I'm going with all of this?
My only opinion is I concur with Councilmember Nichols.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, okay. I don't need a separate email address.
I'm flexible.
Or B or C. We'd have to do it by name. So I don't mind it. I can do it by name too. But I'm not being clear enough here. So I would like to have it go into a special folder and then the response line, you know, who to respond to. You hit reply and the reply would be to mayor@groverbeach.com. So that way the city would have a copy of it on their record of every correspondence. People would know that they don't come to me direct, they go through the city. But the other reason I like that is because there have been numerous times when emails have come in on furlough days or public holidays or weekends, and then nothing comes through until such time as the office is open again. The office is incredibly efficient when we're open. But we're not. I want to be more accessible than that. So I personally would opt for what I've just described. And I don't know if we have the option of doing these things differently, but I do believe it needs to be listed on, even if on the website we say, to reach the mayor, Debbie Peterson, go to gbadmin@grover.org, or to reach council member Bright, go to, gbadmin@grover.org. Even if we all have the same one, I think we should at least list our names and how to reach us. And so, anyway, that's where I am. I would like to see that happen, but there are five of us, and as we've discovered earlier, we have different opinions, and I may be outvoted. So, anyway.
Well, I don't mind. I just don't. I already have to monitor two email accounts, so if it can be set up so I don't have to do another one, I'm fine with that. I know that it is kind of difficult for people when they don't know, when it's not your name, so they don't really know who they're sending it to. So that can be difficult. So if they want to send just you, and they send it to GB, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would be fine either way, as long as it can be, so I don't have another.
And that was my concern too, because it's not efficient if I have to monitor a lot of email accounts. I don't do as good a job for anyone.
I know I won't,
because it's so
time
consuming, and I like to jump on things immediately. And if I'm doing two, I'm not going to jump. I'm going to jump half as fast. So yeah, I understand. The other thing I wanted to say was that I appreciated your question. Is that the complaint was not made against Grover Beach. Mm-hmm. The complaint was made against Morro Bay, who addressed it quickly and were commended for that. But nobody complained about us. It wasn't us.
Yeah.
So I.
That's why I'm
yeah.
kind of grand jury. Go find something better to do.
It's kind of maybe we should too and finish this discussion.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
If I could make a suggestion, I really think that there, for tonight's purposes, and this is only for the response to the grand jury, you need to only think about two things. One, either things will remain the same, or the council will modify the process to allow direct email from the constituent to the council member. I think we could work out the details at some
Thank
other
you.
Point.
Thanks.
And if I may jump in as a recommendation, slightly varying the proposed second option, that is that the council will evaluate the potential of a change versus committing the city to making a change, because if it turns out, A, that three of you don't want to do it after hearing what staff has to say and what the process would be sometime down the road, month, two, whenever, or it does become technically infeasible to achieve what it is that you want and we stay with the same system, then at least we didn't tell the grand jury we're going to do something that we ultimately aren't going to do.
So what's before us tonight then is to either approve or disapprove or change your response. And if we wish to discuss this further, then we can determine as a group that we're going to agendize it for a later date.
Right.
Okay. So, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, towards that end, I'll just throw out an option of have the city evaluate recommendation B, which would be that the city will be assigned each council will assign each council member individual addresses that will be posted on the website with a copy sent automatically to the city management office.
And come back to us at a later date?
Yeah.
They're going to evaluate that?
Evaluate that.
So that's that. What our response is going to be, that the city is going to evaluate.
And not
do
assign.
That.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you all okay?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
No.
We got.
You don't even
I would much rather leave it. I would much rather leave it where it's at.
So we got four.
I don't think we have any problem at all.
Okay.
We get our emails very quickly. If we happen to have a furlough day and you don't get an email that particular day, I don't know of any incidents where it's created a problem.
City manager? Oh no. Oh wait. Yes, it is. It's the city manager. Response to grand jury report regarding consolidation of public safety dispatch.
Yes, Madam Mayor and members of the council. In late May, the city also received a report regarding the consolidation of public safety dispatch. It's important to note that even though the report indicated it was the consolidation of public safety dispatch services, the report focused only on Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. Certainly the discussion could have been broader than that. You know, in the way that in looking at this, the concept of consolidation, this isn't anything new to this city or the South County area. Consolidation of dispatch has been discussed numerous times over, believe it or not, the last 10 years. Actually began in 2003 with a discussion regarding consolidation of police services that was actually initiated by the city of Grover Beach and joined with Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande. But unfortunately, that did not seem to be feasible. So they gave the direction that dispatch should be further reviewed. That effort lasted until 2006, and there was a sporadic discussion amongst the three cities down here about dispatch consolidation until Pismo Beach actually decided to go and not to participate. In 2009, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach took the lead in retaining a consultant that actually looked at dispatch services with a variety of agencies countywide. Consultant did come back and did make a set of recommendations that indicated that dispatch was consolidation was possible in the South County area, especially between Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. But one of the things that consultant failed to take into account was actually the potential impact on service delivery in the various communities. That was almost a missing section from that report. We went on from there to obviously the five cities fire authority came into being in 2010. We recognized at the time that there was a need to at least get fire dispatch housed somewhere. Currently, as you all know, we're dispatching fire for Oceano, and ourselves and Arroyo Grande is dispatching for themselves. So we took another look at consolidating dispatch again in 2010 and again in 2012, just before we took on law enforcement consolidation. I think the one thing I would indicate is that, you know, in order for consolidation to be successful, two things have to really be balanced. One is the potential for cost efficiencies, and that has to be balanced against the delivery of services. Ultimately, in responding to this report, and making the recommendations for responses that I have, I've kept in mind kind of the history of where we've been, the difficulties we've had, that realistically at this point, consolidation simply of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach doesn't seem to be possible, doesn't seem to be workable. I mean, we've looked at it a number of different times. That's not to say that consolidation efforts should be entirely ignored. If, again, South County dispatch should be looked at by the three municipalities, as a staff member, I would probably support that because I tend to think that as numbers grow, there's more potential for efficiencies of cost. However, it would have to be an equal participation amongst all three agencies. Should that not come about, my other suggestion, at a minimum, is that we need to find a way to resolve the five cities' fire authorities being dispatched by two separate agencies. It works, but definitely I feel that that aspect of it can work better. So consequently, you know, my findings and recommendations that I'm suggesting be incorporated into a letter has been laid out in that regard, and I offer that as my recommendation. Again, if the council is comfortable with what I've said here. We'll go ahead and provide the letter if there are. We're two separate communities, and because we're two separate communities, there's going to be differences in the level and types of services that we provide. That doesn't mean that the base services aren't the same, but they're not exactly the same.
Yeah, it'd be good to give some sort of an example or something just to push home the point is where I was getting at on that. I don't need it tonight. I'm just thinking if you when you respond. Sit down. It's late. Never mind.
It's one of the key ones, just as a quick example, we dispatch for Oceano. You know, that's a difference right away that is very easily and readily seen from what Arroyo Grande does.
Okay. I think it'd just be good to give them an example to support it.
Good.
That was my only comment.
Up at the other end, comments?
Fortunately, the city manager is very tactful, does very well when he responds to questions.
That's why we didn't have you.
I apologize to the fire department out there because they've heard me say this before. My comment is that the grand jury's report fails right from the very beginning without batting an eye. The fact that they left Pismo Beach out of this completely just boggles my mind how they could go through that whole exercise and not mention Pismo Beach and talk about consolidation in the Five Cities area. Had I been responding to this, I probably would have wrote him one short note that said, your report fails right from day one.
Yes.
What happened to Pismo Beach? End of report. Thank you. Goodbye. I think the staff has done a very good job in responding. I see nothing that needs to be changed.
No,
in my opinion.
Don't either. And I agree. I was very disappointed when I read the grand jury report.
It was
poorly done, I thought. I'm not going to take this serious.
I think we have a response to the grand jury report. I think the big question is, though, that we do still want on the table that we need to consider dispatch. And this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been told numerous times by the fire department that we could be doing better. And I've raised this the mayors get together once a month, and we've been challenging one another to talk about the important issues rather than just network and have a nice lunch. And so this has been a topic of conversation for the last 2 months, and of course the mayors don't, as we all know, the mayors don't make decisions without their councils. And but I did want, I guess I wanted out there that we all recognize that this is something that could be tackled on a broader scale with other cities, with the whole council, with the whole county, and that we are, I'm hoping that we are willing to continue to look at solutions, because I think there may still be solutions. Don't quite know what they are yet. So I don't know that do you guys agree with me?
Yes. 100%.
Madam Mayor, the other thing that should be mentioned, at some point, I think what the fire authority may simply have to do for its issues is go out for an RFP with the cities that are here, and we'll just have to see what happens, what transpires. That would be one approach that we can look at some future time.
Okay, so let's. Everybody good with all of that? With what we've got so far, with the direction from this, and
I'm good with the direction of this, but I'm unclear as to where we're going.
Well, you know, we're not going anywhere because we're not agendizing it for the future. Okay. I'm just asking that we keep an open mind at finding solutions. That staff do that, that we do that, and that we seek the best possible, most cost-effective service, and that hasn't approached us yet. I don't think.
I definitely agree with that as well. I guess I have one unfortunate logistical question, and it goes back to what Councilmember Nichols was saying in the fact that the grand jury report basically failed at the beginning. How do we craft our response to tell them to not come back more politely with this issue again?
You know,
while we wait for that better solution to present itself from.
Well, that could be.
Madam Mayor,
I don't know if we can.
One of the things that I would suggest, because if the council as a whole feels that's an important comment to make, I think it would be one of the preliminary comments mm-hmm. that you would make in your letter. Just simply say that you were a bit, as a council, disappointed, again, that's tactful language, I guess, that Pismo Beach wasn't considered in terms of this report, and that any further discussion should.
Motion, establishment of Mayor Emeritus. We do have a letter from former Mayor Lieberman regarding that matter, agenda item 10. I don't think it will it take us till after 11 o'clock if we. How long is the closed session going to take us?
The 11 o'clock rule does not apply to closed session.
Oh, okay. Well, are you guys good to go for a little bit, you know, to get this all finished off tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Great. Good. In that case, then, we will move to item number 10, consideration of policy for establishment of Mayor Emeritus title. City Attorney is going to present that report.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. This item is before you, consistent with your direction. It's here for you to discuss the possibility of installing a policy which would provide for a establishment of a Mayor Emeritus title. This item has been before the City Council on two prior meetings. We have provided you with the minutes, the staff reports, and all the attachments that were given to the Council in the past. The item basically was tabled, for lack of a better word, at the last meeting as the one of the individuals who wished to be considered withdrew his interest in that. Recently, consistent with your direction, you wanted to revisit the issue. In short, it is a title that's generally available in the world of academia and some professional associations. I have included some policies from different schools with regard to the emeritus title. There are some cities who do grant the title. We've listed a few. Most of the examples had long periods of time. Bradley, serving 5 terms in Los Angeles, he's actually the only one who ever received that title in L.A., anything from 8 to 16 years. And more of service has been recognized in few cities. Staff recommendation is that if you are inclined to consider that type of a policy or that type of a title, that you have two choices. One is to simply do it ad hoc and on a case-by-case basis without any guidelines or criteria, for lack of a better word. The other one is that you do apply some type of criteria stencil, which would basically give you the ability to see if somebody's even eligible to be considered. Staff would recommend the latter of the two, but the decision is yours to deal with as you wish. With that, I'll submit and answer any questions.
Any questions of the city attorney on this?
And as Mayor did mention, there is a additional supplemental letter that was left by former Mayor Lieberman. It is available to public, and I think you each have a copy of it.
We'll open it to public comment. Seeing none, bring it back to the council. And any discussion? I'll go this way again.
Oh, this way again.
Your turn.
Well, I appreciate the staff report. It was quite in-depth and lots of reading. And lots of thinking of my half on driving down, and I think this letter from Mr. Lieberman solidifies my position on this, that I don't think it's necessary, and I'm not in favor of going any further than this at this point. Thanks.
Councilmember Lee?
And I'm going to echo Councilmember Marshall's comments on that with the caveat that in going through the staff report, and thank you for that, seems to be a length of time that needs to kind of germinate the process, and I think we've been a directly elected mayor for almost too short of a time. to kind of consider.
I'm not asking for it.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't mean to imply that if I did. We as a city have only had basically two directly elected mayors. And so I think we still have some length of time. I think, notwithstanding the fact that if that comes to fruition after you are no longer mayor in whenever that happens to be, then we talk about it then. But I think at this point there's not the longevity of our position as mayor directly elected to move forward with an emeritus title.
Okay.
As I ramble on.
What about the two of you at this other end?
Okay, well, I'll go. You know, I really was kind of lukewarm about it. I really didn't have an opinion. I mean, so much I didn't think it was a big deal so much. But after I started reading the staff report, thank you very much. It really did provoke a lot of thought on my behalf. And I started looking at the different criteria that we might want to consider, and I started to think that it really could be a very difficult title for us to come up.
I don't know that we have anybody that has ever retired as the mayor of Grover Beach. So I think it's a moot question. They don't fit the definition.
Councilmember Bright? Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. It came to me. When we were talking about mayor, we have term limits, so for it to be, after reading all of this, for it to be a long-term mayor emeritus, 4 years. That's all you're going to get. So really couldn't be such a long-term mayor emeritus. If we're talking about like a long-term citizen or a long-term, that sort of a service.
So maybe I could weigh in a little bit here and why I brought it forward. Again, I think we're making this really complicated, and it's not complicated to my mind. I believe that we have had a number of mayors over the course, both appointed by the council and directly elected. And there are some who stand out as never having retired, because they keep serving in different capacities with the city and in different capacities elsewhere in the community. And so my thinking was just, there's no money associated with it. There's no there are no benefits associated with it. There's no rules associated with it. They don't have to do this, that, or the other. They don't have to attend. They don't have to be invited to. But simply a way of saying thank you to a few individuals who started by giving, became mayor, are no longer mayor, kept giving, and that is the kind of service that we want to honor. So we can craft it however we want it. It's our city. It's our title. We do what we want with that. So I was thinking of something really quite simple. Are there a few individuals who we would like to bestow some kind of honor on that has nothing more valuable than the honor itself? And that's where I was going with that.
Maybe just a thought on that, because I really like the idea of being able to honor past citizens or past mayors or past council members for the service that they've done on behalf of the city. And I would almost think that I've heard more people asking for almost the list of council members and the list of mayors put back up somewhere that I guess was taken down years ago.
That.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking almost that might be more of an opportunity to say thank you, notwithstanding the fact that I'm sure there was lots of discussion about that way back when.
No, there was no discussion.
Okay. Gotcha. So then I'll throw that out for potential discussion. I don't know if now's the time.
Well, I think it might be a viable alternative, since we seem to have consensus that we wouldn't do the mayor emeritus, but I really miss being able to look back there and see the people who've come before us. And I know that I think they were taken out of frames and put into a binder, but somehow it's not the same, and it doesn't honor them in the same way. So if I would support that if that's a motion, but that's not my job.
If I'm not mistaken, they ran out of space didn't have any more room to put any more up, which is why they were taken down.
Smaller pictures.
Pardon? The pictures.
Smaller pictures.
Well, yeah, you could put smaller pictures up.
I think staff has a comment.
Was really had to do with the framing. They didn't make the framing anymore, and you know, we were running out of room. Unless you wanted to do it differently. You know, there were how many up there at one point? Like 30 or so? So that it just got to be space constraints. And
I wish we'd been asked first. This is one of those where I've had so many people from the public say that, and I realize it's hard to know sometimes when you need to ask and not ask, but I do wish we'd been asked first on that one. So
you can take mine down if you need more room.
You can take mine down if you need
more room.
Okay, and Mayor Emeritus is dead, is that right?
I don't think we want to be using that term tonight. However, I'm wondering if we have... do we have consensus on seeing if we could get former mayors up on the wall again?
Do we have to agendize this, or is this...
I don't think.
What are we doing here, Martin? Are we?
I think if that's the direction, we'll.
That would be the alternative.
Yeah, that'd
we'll
be nice.
We'll find a way if it's a budget requirement.
I mean, even
we'll
if it's
come
just
back
the former
that.
Mayors, right? That'd be good.
I'll donate the
right,
money.
Right. Just so I can get clarification, if you want to go that route, what you had up there before was all council members. What you're suggesting is just put former mayors?
No, council.
Well, mayors is fine.
Okay.
And maybe it's pictures of former mayors with a...
And you know
well, okay, we got three layers of seven. Three times seven is 21.
Actually, about $18 a frame.
So we don't have the old frames anymore? All right. I will donate the funds if it's an issue.
Oh. I'll help.
Thank you.
I will help as well.
Okay, we got three donors here.
Yeah.
Frame donors. Let's be clear.
Donor too, but.
Okay. So, all right. You guys clear on that? Next item on the agenda, we have no pulled consent agenda items. Council committee reports. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, do you have any council committee reports?
Oh, I hope I brought that in. I do. I brought it with me. Whoops, wrong thing. I may just defer until our next meeting. I had a housing trust fund meeting, and there was just some interesting information regarding how the funds were received by the various cities and agencies and how they were expended. But I don't have it with me. I have it in my car, but we'll talk about it.
Okay, August 5th.
Next time. Yeah.
All righty. Councilmember Lee.
Sure. I have a couple items. There's an event this coming Wednesday at the Chamber of Commerce. It's a presentation by SLOCOG, the Council of Governments, with regards to the Corridor 101 study. It's another opportunity. I think there's been at least three or four opportunities to hear the presentation. Very good presentation. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend that due to other commitments, but I have heard it, I have participated in it, and would highly recommend it. And the Integrated Waste Management Authority, they went dark this month, so our next meeting is in September, so nothing to report there. The SLO Visitors and Conference Bureau, or Visit San Luis Obispo County, has a meeting this Wednesday. I believe we've met since the last time we've actually convened, and everything's on track for SAVOR, the Central Coast, with regards to activity-wise, as well as ticket sales. So I believe the budget's on track, as well as the events and so forth. There was one other item. Oh, there was a presentation at the last month's meeting with regards to the diorama up in the Capitol building, and leadership class 21 is using the diorama at the state capitol to come forward with they're doing an RFP process to have that refilled with as almost an art project for the community. They're looking for artists to come forward with a mechanism to refill that so that people can actually generate some interest in that. And so hopefully that will RFP process will start very, very soon. But then I will come back next month with other items.
Thank you. And also, we had the other homeless.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was mm-hmm. actually going to hop into that, but maybe now is the time. The Five Cities Homeless Coalition. So I don't think we currently have a representative on that, and I have not had a chance to reach Shelley Higginbotham yet, or Jenna Nichols. But if I don't know if we need to agendize that or consensus, I can approach them to see if they want another Grover Beach representative on there, or we have a representative on the Homeless Services Oversight Commission. But I don't think we chose one for the Five Cities.
I was approached by Shelley Higginbotham and Dina Bellman, both of whom are on that committee, and they said everybody's represented except Grover Beach. And I said, I thought Grover Beach was represented, so there seems to be some kind of a mix-up. And they want Grover Beach represented.
Perhaps agendizing that item and having it as a discussion item, if it's the wish of the majority
okay.
of you. With a staff report that perhaps sets out for the public exactly what the role of the committee is and what level of participation would be required.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Sooner, as soon as we can reasonably do that. Everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, thank you. And Jeff said he'd do it.
If
it's not a conflict.
If I'm appointed.
Right, if appointed, yeah.
If appointed,
okay.
Serve.
Right. Council Member Nichols?
The Fire Department, Five Cities Fire Authority, we had a meeting. Things are going very well. We now have our fire chief, old, new fire chief, who has come back. Michael Hubert has come back as a fire chief on an interim basis.
Yay.
Doing very well. Morale is very good. He's made a significant difference. The only issue that we're currently working on is the partial tax issue, which presentations are going to be made before the council at a future date so that we will all better understand what the fire department, the Five Cities Fire Authority, is trying to accomplish. It's going to be a difficult sell because most of the residents don't really understand that right now the $1.2 million that the Grover Beach pays to support the Five Cities Fire Authority comes out of our general fund, which is the tax. And what we would like to do is have a partial tax for the residents in the three communities that will support the Five Cities Fire Authority. Which means the city would not have to put out the $1.2 million. So it's just whether you're going to take it out of this pocket or that pocket, but most people won't understand that, would leave Grover Beach and the other communities in much better shape for their own personal problems within the city, infrastructure and what have you, if there was a partial tax that took care of the Five Cities Fire Authority instead of taking it out of the general fund of each one of the communities, which it does now. So we're working on that. There will be a presentation made before this council at future date. Probably the issue will be put on the November ballot. That's what we're shooting for. And that was about it on Fire Authority. On the SCAT, the charges for the use of RTA bus were resolved. There was some of the workers and citizens were complaining that South County Area Transit was being charged for the use of an RTA bus, which I can understand their thought that why do we have to pay? Well, it's going to cost you to operate a bus. That's all it amounts to. And that cost has got to come from someplace, or the bus has got to come from someplace. You go out and lease a bus to satisfy the needs of the community, you got to pay for it. They're trying to get the new buses, the buses that were being put out. Do you remember, City Manager, the type bus that they wanted to order and the company was so far back they couldn't get an order?
No, we don't.
We have four new buses coming.
Right.
But it's going to take a while to get them. In the meantime, a bus that they did purchase was a Lemon. The company that made the bus, the workings of it, has gone bankrupt. So that bus is what has caused the problem because it sits out in the yard doing nothing, and we have to use an RTA bus, and we have to pay RTA for the use of that bus. Hmm. And they couldn't quite, some of the people didn't quite understand that. And but anyway, that will be resolved when we get the new buses. We will no longer be paying RTA.
And if I could jump in right there, because I'm getting exactly the same story from the RTA. So there you go, two agencies that agree. So just to support what you're saying.
Okay. The SCAT is operating under budget. They're about 80% through the fiscal year, and they're about 70% of the budget has been used up. And part of that is because the ridership is up substantially, somewhere around 13-14%, if I'm not mistaken. So ridership is looking very good. The system is operating very well, and everything's going fine.
Thank you.
Did I miss anything, City Manager?
Slope County with the RAC. Did you say something about the RAC? Oh, I said a bad word. The Slope County Water Resources Advisory Committee.
Yeah, if you will recall, City Public Works Director attends those meetings.
Oh, yes, sorry. Thank you. We need to take... Oh, okay. Yes, all right. I didn't recall. I do now. Air pollution, so I'm next. Air Pollution Control District, I think we've done enough on that one tonight, and I did report on it last time. Economic Vitality Corporation, we had a report on the airport, and that was really interesting because we've talked about the economic impact of our park, and it's $171 million and 2 million visitors. The airport's economic impact for the whole county is $143 million. So tells us just how big our park is and how important it is in the county. A very interesting report on the airport. They're looking for about $1 million, and with that $1 million, they would be able to probably pull another airline in. So watch this space. And I do for the EVC, their next meeting is a really interesting one. It will be on... July 24th at 4 in the afternoon, and two people can go. I think I sent an email, I don't know if you got it or not, inviting you as the mayor pro tem, but one other can go because I'm going to actually be away on vacation, and I'm leaving at 3 o'clock on that day. So a sad to report, not out of our airport. So there are two openings, and it's an economic update, I believe, from the University of Santa Barbara. So it's really interesting, and it's the one I really wouldn't want to miss. But I don't want to miss Boston either. So.
Oh, you're talking about
the EVC.
Ventana.
It's at Ventana.
I did get an invitation from EVC.
Oh, good. Okay. And you can go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have one attendee, and we need, if one of the others of you would like to go, I would love to. I'd love you to do it because I want to hear about it. Is that okay? Am I good with that? I see the city attorney. Okay.
No, go ahead. What date is it?
The 24th.
The 24th, Wednesday at 4 to 5:30 at Ventana.
Yeah, I'm sure I can.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, Council Member
I believe
Lee?
I can.
Okay. If you can't...
No, I can't. I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
you interested? I mean, there's no obligation. Just
I'd rather not. Go.
I can take a guest. So, all right. So, Council Mayor Pro Tem Bright, if you'd like to take a guest, just let them know.
Actually, you know, Mike sent me an invitation for me and a guest.
Great.
So
good.
I've RSVP'd for me and a guest.
Oh, perfect.
So
we're set.
I'm going for the guest. So
okay. Super.
I'll take
good.
Notes.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to hearing about that. And the SLO Regional Transit Authority, Council Member Nichols has talked about part of what we talked about in our meeting, I'm happy to report that SLOCOG didn't have a meeting, but I'm happy to report that Mayor Higginbotham and I parked our cars at the Pismo Beach outlets, got on the bus, the express bus, and we got to our meeting way in advance with time for coffee. It was a lot cheaper. We didn't have to park, and we didn't have to walk nearly as far, and we're going to take the bus every month. It was really, and it was nice and clean, and the people were friendly, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Plus, you can do some work or talk or whatever. So much better than driving, and we'll do that again. And also, I was so impressed with a report that they did. This is an agency that is incredibly well run. And they had an RTA, Regional Transit Authority Operations Performance Report. The one thing they said about it, and they're right, was that it was maybe a little too simple, but they set up some performance standards, which were just amazing. And they did it all in-house. They didn't have didn't pay a consultant to come in. They had a business plan, and they had performance objectives that arose out of that. And what I see as a result of that, they've got incredible buy-in from the drivers, incredible buy-in from the agency, and they're just on fire and excited about customer service and doing things right and getting people on board and making it cheaper. And the whole organization is just, it's really exciting to see. So I'm going to pass this on to the city manager, if you don't mind passing that down, and maybe it could be included in our Friday letter. And then the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, I was unable to attend, and Council Member Marshall attended. Did you have anything to say about that?
Oh, just quickly. This is a couple, 3 weeks ago now, so it's old information.
Yes.
But they had a lab tech. They made an offer on a new lab tech, and then they have a operator in training interview, which was going to be that Friday 2 weeks ago. And I heard they had some really good candidates. They wrapped up the budget. They did, at our mayor's request, they came back with a balanced budget.
Yay, balance the budget.
Balance the budget.
The first time in 7 years.
And they were able to do it, and they were pretty confident that they'd
good.
Be able to stick with it. So
good.
That's a good thing.
Good, good.
And the other thing is they're probably going to be looking at maybe changing insurance carriers. They've got a joint powers right now sort of set up. And they think they can do better, and especially when it comes to dealing with claims and whatnot.
That's great.
Yeah. So we directed staff to work over on that over the next 6 months. And then going backwards, the Homeless Oversight Council, which I'm supposed to go to on Wednesday, this Wednesday, I won't be able to attend, and my alternate, Mr. Lee, won't be able to attend. So we won't have any coverage on that.
With the exception that the police chief... Also is
the police chief goes to that.
Yep.
We will have coverage.
Good.
Yes.
Thank
chief
you.
Chief Coxie is a voting member of...
Yes.
Of
excellent. So maybe
if
we can get
anything.
A report from Chief Coxie if there's anything we
yeah.
need to know. Okay.
Thanks, Chief Coxie.
Thank you. Anything else?
That was it.
Okay. I did want to ask if you could also... I believe we talked about it, but could you go to the South San Luis Obispo County... Sanitation District this Wednesday night because I'm going to be going to Sacramento to talk with State Parks.
They're fun.
I love that committee.
Yeah.
They are.
They're great.
And the employees are great. The staff
are
great.
Staff is wonderful.
Just like ours.
Yeah, I'd be happy to attend.
Yep.
I can definitely do that.
Thank you very much. And next thing we have is City Council Member items. Are there any other City Council Member items that anyone wants to bring up? Because we've already covered the big one.
I would bring up one item, if I may. I would like to know if the rest of you would agree to agendize at our next meeting, again, committee assignments with specific reference to the mayor and the Air Pollution Control District. I think we have a problem, in my opinion, with your continuing to represent the council on that committee in view of what has taken place over the last month, so to speak. So I would like to agendize that issue on the next meeting.
Do we have consensus?
Wasn't expecting that. I'd be happy to I'd be happy to always be open to discussion on items. So, yes, I would second that.
Okay. All right. Do we need to take a vote, or is it a consensus, or
no,
how does that work?
So far, I've seen two.
So
I just as long as there is consensus among the majority of you.
So we've got two others.
I'll go ahead and for discussion purposes, since we're going to be talking about potentially the Five Cities Homeless Coalition.
Exactly, it's good time.
Okay.
At the same time, so.
Okay. All righty. Any other council member items?
I guess I'm not really sure about... Okay, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's an item or a communication, so I'm not sure. So
you know, we did a thing here where we explained it a little more clearly, which... The item gives council members the opportunity to request scheduling a specific item on a future agenda or authorizing staff time to provide background information and prepare a staff report for a future agenda.
Council communication
gives individual council members the opportunity to comment on council business, city operations, projects, and other items of community interest.
Well, it's about the water.
The water?
Our water.
Not the quality of our water. It's about the water bills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the water bills.
Mm-hmm. Water bills. So, I don't know that I'm going to ask to agendize. Maybe I am. So maybe I'll go with council communications. Did you want to go first, though, Mr. Lee?
My council communication is very easy. I went to the CJPIA down in Oxnard. It was a great conference. I came, I went, I saw, and I recommend anybody else going who has an opportunity.
They are great, aren't they?
They are.
I enjoyed it immensely. Yeah. It was very... You remember?
Yeah, that was great.
Newport... No.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
Yeah, yours was in Oxnard, but ours was on the way up from San Diego.
Okay.
Newport Beach? Can't remember where it was. On the beach somewhere.
What conference was that?
I'm going to apologize. I don't know the... Is the CJPIA? It's our...
Joint Powers Insurance Agency.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
New council members.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's South County.
Very good. It was. I remember it.
Any other city council member items?
So I guess that's me now then. Okay.
Okay. So now I guess we're on to council communications.
Well, I think this can be...
Okay. Whatever.
All right. Let's hear it.
You're next.
We'll just see where I go
You're
with
next.
This. Okay. So I have some questions about our water company, our water bill, my water bill. I got my water bill, and I can understand now why we have folks that come and get very upset because their water consumption is so different. Even though maybe the charges aren't that different, my water usage this time was 11 units. In April, it was 7. And then prior to that, 8. Then prior to that, 12. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed in my house. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Probably has been less in this last month or last period. So
what's going on Brighton Avenue?
What the heck is happening? That's what I want to know. How is that possible? Now, the financial aspect, you know, it's $13. But that gives you pause to wonder what is up with my meter. Why?
Madam Mayor, if I could, what I would suggest, and we'd be glad to do this, and I think this would be a good process to go through. We would have Council Member or Mayor Pro Tem Bright share that same bill and concern with staff. And normally what happens when we get a question like that is we start working backwards. We take a look at the meter. We find out if the meter's reading correctly. We try and take a look, and we would just take you through that same process. We do that individually when folks are concerned about their water meter reads to determine whether there is a valid reason for that fluctuation. You know, you mentioned that it goes from 8 to 11. That's
7 to 11.
7 to 11. 4 units.
That's a lot of water.
It is and it isn't.
For
depends,
one person?
Well, and that's why we need to take it in and take a look at it and deal with it as if it were a regular complaint. Once you're done with that, if you feel for some reason there is some global issue that we need to deal with, then I would suggest bringing that back to the council to agendize.
All right. Yeah. It just makes me, gives me, you know, I can just see where why people would be concerned when these kinds of things happen. So I have some questions about, like, accuracy of the receiver, of the meter information, you know, that sort of thing. So, okay, so then I will talk with staff about this,
right.
And then I'll come back if these aren't answered.
Exactly. My suggestion is, if there is a global issue that it's identified in that process, then that's what should be brought back for the entire council to review.
Because I'm thinking that, you know, there are probably folks out there who...
This isn't agendized, so I think it's time to stop.
Right. Okay.
And I think it's fair that staff have a shot at addressing it as with any other complaint before it comes to the council.
Gotcha.
Any other council communications? Okay. And I just wanted to say thank you all very much. I missed the last meeting because my nephew was killed in a car accident. I'm still not 100%, so I still make some kind of silly mistakes sometimes and forget things, so thank you for bearing with me. And also wanted to thank all of you for attending the Brown Act workshop of, when was that? A few weeks ago. And I especially wanted... The 26th. I really especially wanted to thank John LaFerriere of the Planning Commission and Greg Alex of the Planning Commission. They showed, and Heidi Boatman. And particularly, I wanted to thank them because I think what came forward is it brought them a lot of issues that they wanted to address with their respective commissions. And I really appreciated their input. And also thank you to the three members of the public who showed up because they had some helpful input too. So thanks everyone for your support with that. And I'm going to now we're now going to recess to closed session. But before we do that, oh, sorry, you wanted to say something? You mean there's city manager's reports and
actually,
comments?
Actually, I do have a couple.
Okay,
and I'll make them very quickly. You referenced the trip to Sacramento.
Yes.
And want everybody to know that yourself, myself, Martin, and former Mayor Scholes, as a member of the Joint Authority team, are going to Sacramento for the first face-to-face meeting since the Coastal Commission adopted the revised local coastal plan. The purpose of that meeting is to go through specifically the next steps we have to make with Pacifica in order to get the project under construction. So it'll likely be a very important meeting. Speaking of hotels, just wanted to mention the hotel on El Camino Real still is moving forward. I expect that they will meet the requirement to pull their grading permit in just a matter of days, and that will actually activate and retain the coastal development permit. And finally, I expect that we'll have an item before you in August about going to, again, following up on the request to the city of Pismo Beach relative to the utility provision of utilities. So that's all still very much moving forward. Finally, Planning Commission applications are being taken. We have a Planning Commissioner, Greg Alex, who is actually, his term is expiring. I believe he's interested in refilling that position, but as is always the policy, we recruit and open positions for other folks that may be interested in serving on the Planning Commission. So those applications are now being taken for that seat.
Thank you. City Attorney,
One question, if I could. I apologize. Did you have a quick update on the People's Kitchen?
People's Kitchen. At the present time, the People's Kitchen will no longer be at Shouts of Grace Church. That will terminate as of July 31st. They are in the process of getting a lease from the county to operate on a vacant piece of property immediately behind the courthouse. But the city, at this point, in staff's review of the situation, is that we can issue a temporary use permit for a couple of months to allow them to go through the full use permit process, which they'll need to do. As I understand it, their use up there that they want to seek is no more than a year. I probably will detail more in the Friday report when I've had a chance to sit down and get that out to you.
Thank you. City Attorney?
Thank you, Mayor. Council members, just briefly, as a reminder, I may be late to the next meeting, the August 5th meeting. I'll do my best to get here from LAX in time for the meeting. I'll be on vacation. I'll be flying back in.
Safe journey. Okay. So I'm wondering also, now that you've got the floor, could you introduce our closed session?
Certainly. It is the intent of the City Council to meet in closed session. I believe it is on three items, I think. And they are a conference with labor negotiations regarding all employee groups. Litigation, existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. And conference with real property negotiations with regard to Digital West networks. And I will ask, excuse me, yes, there is two cases. I'm sorry. It's been a long night. On existing litigation, there's a second case which I overlooked, and that's the one I was going to ask you to put on the agenda as a special vote, but it is there. It's the administrative complaint from the RWQCB versus City of Grover Beach. So they're both listed. So there are two cases on closed session for existing litigation.
So we have three altogether.
Four altogether. Two existing litigations and real property negotiation and labor negotiation.
How can we have four when we only have three agendized?
One of them is a two-item.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm going to recess to closed session. We'll come back and report back when we're done. Thanks.